This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston and the world. They got the calendar covered.
Oh.
What is this, the 20th?
It is.
Yes, it is.
This is the 20th March edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest running... What
the hell you are? You're Kermit the Frog.
I was going to say, he's the horse one tonight.
Longest running producer of this show, and I have laryngitis. I don't know who Laryn is, but I've got hergitis right here.
Well, you could have left hergitis at home.
I should have.
Jeez. And I'll be Wes Laverne, your newest producer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say hello to Austin, Texas, and my friend Keith, who's out there listening to us tonight and
hey,
last week.
Keith, how's it hanging?
So, he's become a new fan of the show.
Fabulous.
So. Yay, we're up to two now out of prison.
No, come on.
Three, someone escaped, that's right.
No,
holy crap, I got a knot in my headset.
Yes, I put that in there last week.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What? Looks like somebody was doing origami with this thing.
It's so that when you slide backwards, it doesn't pop out of the connection.
I hate when it pops out.
I think it's called an underwriter's. No.
It's on this end, not on that end.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Okay.
Holy crap.
I did an underwriter's knot on it last
week. Later. How was everybody's week?
Well, up until last night, it was all right.
Oh.
And then I got a little upset with some people last night. We'll leave that personal stuff at home.
I'll bet I know what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
Chris.
Boss was away for most of the week, so it was good.
Oh, that's good. Well, I have been trying to recuperate. I'm back from, Judy will probably be talking about it later. GCAM did a presentation to the annual meeting of the Texas Association of Museums. We were the first gay museum to ever make a presentation. It went really well.
Yeah, really Judy well. Was talking about some of that.
We had a really good time. It was received extremely well. We'll probably be asked to do another one next year. So.
Hmm. Are you going to take the Tickler then to A&M?
The Tickler? No. We took gingivitis this year. That was enough, don't you think? Anyway, we've got GCAM here. This is GCAM night, and Judy is going to be talking to half the board, at least, of Louie to talk about a wrap-up of how Louie went and what Louie is going to be in the future. And then we have the crew is here.
Okay.
The crew of Olympus, King and Queen.
Ah. So we got a full night tonight, don't we?
And that is a first for After Hours. We've never had the crew here before.
Oh.
I'm very excited and honored to have that happen. So.
Love the weather here today, don't you?
Hate it.
What happened to our spring?
I know.
Spring hasn't sprung yet. It's not for till Monday. But here's the twisted
thing.
Good thing
I didn't put the mink back in storage.
Here's, shh, don't let the go vegan here show here you say that. I just wear it, damn it. I don't eat it.
That's right. Minks are disgusting little animals that eat their young, so I should be wearing them on my back. There you go.
Coming back from a fabric store, how gay is that, today?
Pretty gay.
Driving down, I think at that point it's still Eldridge, before getting to Westheimer. Stopped at a traffic light, and I didn't notice it. My friend looked up and saw three people dressed in elf costumes.
What?
Another one that was more in a kind of a Cupid elf. It's like, I know it's cold enough to be wearing the Christmas stuff, but, you know, it was a little strange. And I was having the same twisted sense of humor. Looked up and go, ho, 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 and a ho.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, it was like,
ho for the Cupid? That's cute.
But it was like really weird seeing these people go across. It took a double take of having to go, what the hell did we see?
Yeah, what is that about?
I know. I almost wanted to pull over, but it was like, part of me wants to know, but part of me's afraid to know. You know, we're just on the outskirts of the Montrose, so it's one of those things of, you know, do you really want to know?
Yeah, or? You never know.
Yeah, we said elves, not bitch.
Oh, oh my God. Just as Judy walks in.
Oh, goodness. But he did it just because she walked in.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
How many bitch crowns do you have?
More than you'll ever get.
Oh, well.
That's because I'm such a good bitch, I get awards. Bad bitches don't get any.
No, bad bitches get laid.
Oh!
Between the two of them, I'd rather have the awards.
Oh, I guess it was. Okay. Anyway.
Thank God she's not near a mic yet.
Things going on
I could change
in
that.
The community. I do want to mention again that Jerry Atwood plays at the Bistro Calais every Friday and Saturday this month. And for really great, great fun music, you ought to stop by, have a drink, and relax, and enjoy Jerry's music. Speaking of music, this Monday will be the fourth Monday of the month, which means it's time for Queer Music Heritage, which is...
Already?
Yeah, which is part of Queer Voices, which is heard every Monday night here on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, from 9 until 11. So Queer Music Heritage will start at 10 o'clock Monday night. And this month, for March... JD is featuring Queer Nation, the music and the politics, then and now. Interviews with Queer Conscience, Ray Hill, and Good Asian Drivers. Imagine that. Imagine that. So, there's that, and...
I want to look at this.
What? Oh. Next weekend will be the last weekend for Judy's play, Waiting to be Mended, which is having its world premiere at Theater Suburbia. And the houses have been really, really filled up here for this play. It's gotten a lot of good press, got a great review in the Chronicle. It's... she's the director. It was written by Houstonian Gwen Flager. And it's got, oh my God, it's got homosexuality, it's got religion, it's got hate, it's got it all. It's really, really a wonderful drama, Waiting to be Mended. Playing next weekend is the last at Theater Suburbia, which is located at Way Out West Road. That's 43rd and Hempstead Highway. For reservations, 713-682-3525, or go to Theatra Suburbia, T-R-E, theatersuburbia.com. Wes?
Yes.
I believe you're next.
Oh, okay. Just trying to get the bits and pieces of this one together.
Yeah, I'm going to rest my voice. It's probably hard to understand anyway.
If you quit playing with those horses.
Well.
Jeez. Theater New West announces its upcoming production. Well, actually, that's not upcoming anymore. It's production of The New Century by Paul Rudnick. Paul Rudnick, perhaps the best comedy playwright of this or any other century. Theater New West produced his play, The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told, back in 2002, and it was a huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
It was held over twice and ran for 3 months. So you got two more weekends. You got this weekend with a matinee on Sunday.
Sunday.
March
20th.
I know, right?
No, I don't have it tonight, do I?
Yeah. March 21st. That's going to be at 4 p.m. And then you have next weekend and the following weekend, Fridays and Saturdays, at 8 p.m. This is all taking place over at the Saram Studio at 5570 Wesleyan, which is the cross street's Bissonnette, between Randall's and Walgreens. Tickets are $20. Seniors 62 and over and students with IDs are $15.
Okay.
You get the discount.
Yep. You can go to theatranewwest.com to find out a little bit more.
What's the age for the seniors?
162. Oh, I'm sorry, 62.
62, great. Never mind.
That was an old joke at Jimmy's expense again, if for those that missed that.
Yeah.
So that means that someone can take you to a second theater, instead of getting the buy one, get one free at Theater Suburbia, by telling them you heard it on After Hours. You can go there, you get the senior discount.
Well, what do you know?
What does Stanley get?
Everything. He's beyond senior.
Well, yeah. And on the sixth day, God created Fabulous! Join us for the hilarious retelling of the Old Testament by the
Did
original...
Did he grab himself to hit that note?
I think so.
No, I'm a first tenor, so I can hit that note anytime.
Get that.
He's high and tight where it counts.
He'd hit that, huh? I just don't mean that note.
This is a retelling of the Old Testament by the original couple, Adam and Steve. Again, this... Oh, it's another one by Paul Rudnick. Okay.
I know. He's just prolific.
Let's see here. Looks like
He can't spawn children, so he spawns plays.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Remaining play dates are Friday the 26th at 8 p.m. Saturday the 27th at 8 p.m. Sunday the 21st and 28th at 7:30, and Monday the 22nd at 7:30 over at the Fentacor Theater.
Monday?
Yes, a Monday play.
Wow. I know, that's right? Odd. Usually the theater is dark on Monday.
I know, right?
The only thing there are barbershops?
I don't know.
Yeah. Benefit tickets are $30, and included is a 2-drink tickets and an invitation to the post-show reception with the cast.
Be careful, Judy may end up sitting on your lap.
Mm. Oh, I see one of the two mics has shown up.
Hey,
did everybody else stay at home?
Hello.
he missed that question altogether.
He didn't have his headphones on yet.
Did everybody else stay at home?
It's not plugged in.
Here.
All right, somebody get him some headsets.
Did the rest of the children stay at home?
Yes, the rest of the kids are in bed.
Good.
That's what?
That's all I worry about.
Okay.
What do you want?
Okay.
That's good. Your hearing's not completely gone yet.
That's the. I thought that was the last thing to go.
Oh, I don't know.
Bondage Bunnies presents Mr. Prime Choice Texas 2009. Oh, presented by Mr. Prime Choice Texas 2009 and Mr. Lone Star 21.
Yes.
We got Friday, March 26th at 10 p.m., the Boy Auction and 50-50 raffle, benefiting PWA Holiday Charities Working Fund. And then on Saturday, March 27th at 10 p.m. is the Daddy Auction and Silent Auction, benefiting PWA Campouts and the Texas Conference of Clubs.
Yes.
All this is taking place over at the Ripcord, 715 Fairview, here in good old Houston.
Yes, it is.
Right down the street from us. Well, maybe two or three streets.
Up a street and to the left and...
Around a bend and stuff like that?
Yeah.
We have to get around the bend when you get to Ripcord.
Ooh.
Fortunately, their end is fixed now.
Okay. Is it now?
The patio's back.
Well, all right.
That's
Then, oh, God, there's a lot going on this weekend. March 21st at 3 p.m. 3 p.m.? Goodness gracious. Over at EJ's, Celebration of Life in the honor of Steve Simpson.
Yeah.
Presented by Crystal Ray Lee Love. That's a hell of a name to say. No, this is not a Papa Smurf production.
You ought to see her. She fits. She fits that name.
Yeah.
Bitch on wheels.
Yeah. Then we have, no, this is not a Papa Smurf production on March 26th at 8 p.m. over at Crocker. Till you're blue in the face. A direct benefit for the Colt 45s, hosted by our good friend Lillian Devereaux.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, and...
blue in the face or fall on your face?
Yeah, well...
pick one.
Ooh.
Well, she's black and blue in the face.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
But then if they do a black in the face show, then people think it's minstrel, then you get the protesters out, and God.
Yeah. And somehow or another, we are all related, but these branches don't fork. On March 27th at 8 p.m. over to EJ's, it's all relative.
Oh.
The Board of Directors show presented by Bob Boughton.
Uh-huh.
MCs are Crystal Rayleigh Love and Buddy Thompson.
What board is this?
My God, the Reese's.
Well, it didn't say that on here, but obviously it must be a Reese's.
It is a Reese's.
It's Bob. Oh, Bob. Bob.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, we got more balls. On March 26th, the Kindred Spirits Foundation is doing their annual golf tournament kickoff party.
Oh,
wait.
Why'd you split it?
Because did he do it again?
I don't know.
That's the pre-event.
Yeah, this is the pre-event. The kickoff party, which is actually on the 28th at Chances, where you can sign up your team or become a sponsor. More information to follow with Chris over there.
Is that it?
I got one more.
Okay.
Let the games begin. We got a fundraiser for the PAW Holiday Charities. It's the Battle of the Sexes 2010. The all-boys, quote-unquote, show on April 9th at 8 p.m., hosted by Jimmy and Chris. And the all...
not this Chris.
Yeah.
No.
And the all-girls, quote-unquote, show, Saturday, April 10th at 8 p.m., hosted by Ginger and Carrie.
Yeah, the only problem with that is I'm going to be in San Diego.
Well, how are you going to be in two places at once, damn it?
I don't know.
Jeez, Jimmy.
Don't know.
Well, there's special appearances on Saturday by Tony's Corner Divas.
Oh, my.
And there's also drink specials and test tube shots.
Oh.
And, obviously, this is all taking place over at Tony's Corner Pockets.
It is.
817 West Dallas. All community performers are welcome. All right, Chris, your turn.
It's Chris. Come on, honey. Okay.
Get it out.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Do I need to read some more?
No, let's see. We're doing the Kindred Spirits thing. That's the second annual charity golf tournament and dinner, which is Saturday, April the 24th, 1:30 p.m. at Bear Creek President's Golf Course in Houston. So, we've been talking about that for quite a few weeks now.
Yeah.
Then, April 10th. It's getting to be that time again. The Church Ladies Bake Sale is this April 10th at George. Yorkie will be backing Brett, and we are looking for your help to make this bigger and better than ever. As you know, all items not sold will be going to the Omega House. Please look for our poster and along with the times in a few days. That'll be in the afternoon. Mr. Clay Hardy, oh my God, what a marvelous singer this man is. Candidate for Mr. Prime Choice Texas 2010 presents Leather Freaks, No Holes Barred. This is happening Saturday, April 10th, 10:30 p.m. at the Ripcord, 715 Fairview, and it's benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. And then, of course, Mr. Prime Choice Texas 2010 Contest. That's happening Friday and Saturday, April the 23rd and April the 24th. The 23rd is the meet and greet, and the 24th is the competition. Masters of Ceremony, Steve Carbone, and Laura Van Valkenburg. And that's happening, of course, at the Ripcord, 715 Fairview. Then the bitch is back. And I don't mean Judy.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, she's just out in the other room.
Yeah, I know. This is a performer by the name of Bitch. Bitch returns to Houston for an encore performance Sunday, April the 25th at Rudyard's, located at 2010 Waugh Drive. That's just right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's an early show. It's at 6:30, so join.
Well, we do it because we know you're listening.
It's an early show, so join us for dinner and then end the show. Rudyard's has a full menu and bar with plenty of good choices. Equal parts poet and rock star, Bitch continues to push the envelope with her wild, spirited avant-garde sound and powerhouse performance that delivers strong vocals and a penchant for idiosyncratic musical instruments. Performing with her band, this promises to be a crazy, fun ride. Christine Havrila is the quintessential pop rock goddess and a perennial Best of Philadelphia Award winner. Her energetic and infectious stage show is the perfect complement to round out the show.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How come every time somebody says bitch on this radio show,
they look at
my
you?
Name comes up?
I don't know why that is.
I'm a nice girl.
Really?
A fun date.
Oh.
They do it out of love.
Is that it? Oh, thank you. I'm the most
loyal. Oh, okay. Okay.
Sure. Inflate the ego, why don't you?
There you go. There you go.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, well, while we regroup and resettle.
And let Chris get his blood sugar back where it needs to be.
Yes, let's have a little piece of music, and we'll be back with the GCAM segment.
All right.
shines on the water. The golden ripples flicker gently, calling out to sea. For now I hang with miracles, so I walk out on the waves. By the moonless night, my candle lights your way back home to me. A boy can dream. Yes, a boy can dream. A boy can dream. A boy can dream. Yes, a boy can
All right. No, there was no dead air. I faded out. Can you not hear me over there?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now? Hi, guys.
Hi, Judy.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Did Chris go away?
I think he went out to take a break.
Yes, he did.
Bye, Chris. I know I have the horse one in here with me.
Yes, you do.
But I also have John Tiska.
Hi, hello. John.
Good to be back.
Yay. I'm so glad you're back.
Nowhere else I would rather be.
And this is, what is the G-Cam Hour? Y'all keep naming it something, and I keep forgetting what
it
is.
Yeah, we call it the G-Cam Hour.
No, it was something else. Chris gave it one of these.
Oh. No, I just said the G-Cam Hour. You know,
G-Cam Hour works for me.
You get to name it.
It's good enough for Alfred Hitchcock. It's good enough for me.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
We have a couple of guests tonight on the G-Cam Hour.
We do.
Who's up first?
We have, who's on first? not everybody in this room. Yeah, everybody in this room is old enough.
Yeah.
That's right.
We have Lloyd Powell and Robert Kahn with us from the Houston Council of Clubs to do a little Louis wrap-up for us.
Oh, we got the Cherry Daddy.
And then we have the new King and Queen Olympus.
All right.
Crowned, okay, in February. So they'll be talking with us in just a few minutes. We'll be introducing them.
Cool.
Jimmy's still drooling.
I know.
You know, never mind.
Somebody get him a bib in there, please.
I drool for a lot of reasons.
I know, dear. It gets embarrassing sometimes, but they're not going
that, I know what I'm getting them for Christmas this year, though. A really long bib.
A really, when it goes from the chin to the knees.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's on them, so it doesn't, never mind. But I love you.
Thank you.
Oh, I think I need coffee.
Oh.
All right. Hi, Lloyd Powell and Robert Kahn. How are y'all
doing? Hey,
I see the Chair Daddy. How you doing, Chair Daddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, sexy?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
You know, he's got on shorts tonight. I think he wore
I saw that. I saw that.
Well, I wasn't expecting it to drop down into 30 degrees tonight.
Mm. What, do you never listen to the news?
No.
Oh.
Why? It's depressing and full of crap.
I don't either, but that's the first thing I do in the morning is I go on. Look at Houston weather, because it changes, like, minute by minute.
You get up in the morning?
I get up before 12 o'clock noon.
Now, make sure you present that pin properly.
She gets up at 11:58 a.m.
Wait a minute. In my jacket pocket is my camera. In the lobby.
Here, you can use my phone.
But then you have a picture of it.
Exactly.
Hello?
I'll send it to you.
No. Yeah, right. Let's just don't even go there. So how was Louis this year, dear?
How was Louis? Louis was great.
Louis was
fun.
How many people do we have there this time?
1,067. Yes.
Wow. Oh, wow.
1,067. We didn't break last year's record, but that's fine. For me, it's all about how smoothly it goes and how much fun the people have.
Well, we have a very different economy now.
Well,
than when we had this true time that. Last year.
We do, but I feel like that's a small percentage to say that it even really affected
how many countries
the attendance
did we have
at Louis.
Three countries.
Three countries?
The U.S., Canada, and Mexico this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All North America.
No, the Australians didn't.
Well, or the Germans. You know, some days. Some days it just goes that way.
Yeah. But I think one of the bars has a new Russian bartender, so Does that count?
Who can argue with that?
All right. How Russian is he?
He's from there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't my question.
Well.
It's all the answer you're getting, okay?
Okay, I'm half Russian. What else you want to know?
I'm just
Russian. Move on.
Thank you, Robert. Okay.
As we continue to go downhill.
Yeah. Not much harm. Anyway, what? Nothing. I've been around Chris too long. So,
I loved the tent at Tony's.
I bet you did.
Wonderful.
The blue diaphragm?
Yes.
Well, there's the big blue diaphragm, and then there was the other space.
The labyrinth.
Yes.
The labyrinth back there?
The pinning space.
The pinning space is a good thing.
That was
not only did it have walls, it had a ceiling, and it was all made of fencing and tarps.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and Tony was so excited about it when I got there in the afternoon. He came over to my car, opened my door before I had a chance to open it, grabbed me by the hand, and pulled me back to see the space.
he
was so excited about it. Yeah. Yeah. So the bar owners really, really stepped up this year on doing what they could to improve, the Louis celebration at their particular places of business. So that was really nice.
Did you have more bars this year, or was it the same number as last year?
It was the same schedule as last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the exact same. So it was great. It worked really, really well.
Flawlessly?
There were a few flaws. There was only one that really got my feathers ruffled, and
that takes a lot.
Does take a lot, and I would say that there were a great number of attendees who didn't even know it happened.
You're right.
And I don't even talk about it anymore. I mean, I'll tell you it happened, but I won't even tell you what it was
at
this point.
Secrets. And who can keep a secret?
Yeah.
You're a rare breed.
That's what the rest of the board was for, was to calm him down and keep him from...
Well,
obviously you did your job well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was that incident, and there was one incident where someone actually yelled and screamed and cussed at me, and it was all about something that nobody had any control over, and honestly, it made no difference whatsoever in the end. Mm-hmm. The board doesn't even know who that was or why it happened. I don't think we even...
He doesn't even give us initials.
That. No. All I'll say is he was, a month ago, a board member of a very large organization. He no longer is on that board, and every board member of that organization has apologized to me for his actions, and honestly, I think he just wasn't taking his meds or something.
He's
having a bad weekend.
Yeah, those are just, those are the two incidents that I know of that were just, out of the ordinary.
And it's amazing to me because you've got a big weekend, a long weekend with lots of alcohol, and I'm just surprised that we don't have more incidents.
Well, yeah, but alcohol and, you know how what that does to some people's emotions and things like that. And there were just a whole lot of happy people.
Mm-hmm.
There really were.
Absolutely.
So
I was thrilled.
I know that.
I bet you were.
Don't anybody else go there, okay?
He was thrilled and his neck was sore afterwards.
And he maintained his hat.
Really? Oh, well, yeah, that hat.
Yeah, that hat.
Yes, I decided, well, you see, the first night, it's the
pit. He's stuttering, okay.
Which I call Mr. Hospitality.
Yes.
And Buddy Thompson and I were he was kind of beating me the first night. But then,
he must have gotten here earlier then.
But then he didn't show up on Saturday, so he lost my hat. So I decided to keep the hat.
It's a shame when you have to have a slut competition.
I know.
I can't imagine why there aren't more involved in that.
Oh.
Was you and Buddy?
No, there were.
Oh,
there were,
okay. Yeah,
but they were all pikers.
Yeah, so
what else? Someone actually suggested we start a Slut of the Run award for Louie, and I'm like, absolutely not. There is no way we could possibly see who was...
It'd be like the Special Olympics. Everyone gets an award.
It's called the Louie Run Pin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What an glad it all went well, though. Because, oh, y'all, when y'all were here before, you were not the least bit concerned about how it was going to go. You were ready for it.
Well, after, I mean, this was our 37th year. After a while, events like this just kind of have a flow of their own. And trying to stop it would be harder than to let it do its own thing.
But you still have to have people at the helm that know what they're doing and go with the flow and allow it to happen.
Well, and I'll say this, and the board has gotten lots of compliments. I've personally gotten lots of compliments. But the compliments that I get personally belong, as far as I'm concerned, to absolutely everyone involved in Louis. I will say that of the chairs of recent history, I'm probably the one who speaks the strongest to the board and to the membership of the Houston Council of Clubs in telling them what I believe we have to do as far as treating these people as our guests, you know, and doing what's right throughout the weekend and in planning. But I also try to do that in a loving way. And my only goal is just to make sure that everybody understands, you know, yes, there's going to be alcohol, and yes, there's going to be, you know, people doing things maybe they wouldn't normally do. And we're just there not only to make sure they have a good time, but also to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. And I just want everyone to be aware. And we were also going into this year with a situation. Robert basically has handled registration for, what, about 8 years now, I think?
Yeah.
And he's done...
It's a thankless job, and he never gets to really enjoy Louis.
Absolutely. It is a thankless job.
Time.
Well, and this year, because of his employment, he actually was not able to be there Thursday night, and I was afraid he wasn't going to be able to be there Thursday night and Friday night. And so I really got on him and said, you've really got to prepare some people. But we've had people that have been sitting behind that registration table for at least a few years now, and with some additional notes from him, they handled it beautifully. On Thursday night when registration started, the room was just full of people who could not wait to help. Just help with things going smoothly. They wanted to do everything they could. And everything that happened as far as the board and our members and the members of our member organizations and the members of our auxiliary organizations, they worked very, very hard this year. And I actually saw them, because they were working harder, they actually had more opportunity to have fun. Mm. And it was just great. Everything flowed so smoothly because of them. So I had nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Except for the Louis Virgin Bell.
Next year?
Yeah, the Louis Virgin Bell. Oh, I hated that. God.
Well, just
I'm
so
sorry.
Both of you know,
what?
it is in the registration table tub, so we will have it for next year's registration table.
Oh.
So it's been donated. I don't know if Stephen knows that yet, but
you
it
sure
has been donated.
You can't lose it between now and then?
Well, I'll put it this way. If I have my way about things, I'll probably have 4 Louis Virgins with me next year.
Well, good.
That's a little harem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have 4 of them. Two of them from out of state, friends of mine that I've known for many years now. So they'll be, if they can get the time off, they'll be coming down to spend the weekend with us all.
Awesome.
So
that will be great.
Yeah, in fact, I've already made a deal with them. They pay for the hotel room, and I'll pay for the registration for me and my two.
Yeah, good deal.
Right. So you've already got the first 4 punches on Jimmy's dance card for next year, huh?
While we're here, let me say that with the upcoming Louis 38, we're going to be doing things a little differently. Louis is not going to change. We want Louis to remain the same. Louis does change over the years. It changes very, very slowly. It changes because of need and because of personalities. I may be the chairman, but I don't want to change Louis. I want to change and have to change because we're now incorporated, the way we do some of the things, the business part of the org, the corporation. And one of the changes that we're doing is, in the past, we have done our pin and poster contest, and the deadline has been July. And just to clarify that, every year we have a new pin design and a new poster design. And anyone and everyone from anywhere in this world is invited and encouraged to submit designs for those. And but this year we're doing everything a month earlier.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, and some things will be more than a month earlier, but we just need more time to market and do everything we need to do. So all of the criteria for your submissions are at www.louieweekend.com, and you know, we hope to get a lot of submissions this year.
Oh, good.
For those. Yeah.
I'm determined to get there next year. I missed the whole thing this year. It just breaks my heart. Yeah.
Well, that's because you were directing that beautiful play.
But, it would have been so much fun to take a weekend off and do Louis. At least, maybe even one or two nights, you know.
Is marketing a new thing for Louis?
Marketing is going to be a new thing for Louis. There's, you know, there are a lot of things. Just the problems that we know of, that we know how to fix them, there are some areas that we just need to change to make things go even smoother, to improve processes. And in some conversation that Robert and I were having a couple of weeks ago, Robert said, you know, we really need a marketing committee. And at first I was thinking, marketing, no, Louis is too simple to have a marketing committee. No, that doesn't work. But after thinking about it for just a few moments, a marketing committee, people who are committed to working on that, could really help simplify things like what the ad program committee goes through in putting together the program for the weekend. And
well, there's that. There's so many internet outlets that we can target to get the word out about Louis. Get it out to the leather community throughout the rest of the country. We've got a large bear population that comes to Louis weekend, so target that also. That's not something we've really focused on in the past, and so hopefully developing a marketing committee that can work on that throughout the year, we will see more of an influx coming in.
Good.
And we don't really have a marketing budget as yet. And actually, this year, for the first time ever, we're going to have to put together a budget.
No, you're getting caught.
But we're incorporated now.
Yeah.
I really think that's going to be a pretty easy thing because of the history of Louis.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a lot of things that we can do for marketing that are at absolutely no cost to us. So, and even things that we do that we charge people for, like putting an ad in our program guide, they don't get just that program in a booklet that people look out for a weekend, because all of those ads are on the Louis website, and anyone who's paid for an ad in our program guide can email us at any time throughout the year and change that ad on the Louis site.
If you're promoting, promoting an event, you can change that.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I know
it's a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
I know I've seen y'all's first piece of advertisement because I saw y'all's Facebook posting.
In fact, I
went ahead and I reposted it on my own wall so that all my friends could see it.
Thank you.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, already. And I was done. I had it all posted like within 30 seconds of y'all posting up.
Oh, for the pin and poster contest?
For the weekend. Y'all had the weekend dates in there, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I reposted everything up
there. For 2011?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bet. So we always know what the dates are going to be because it's always the weekend following Mardi Gras.
That's right.
Following Fat Tuesday.
And it's our Mardi Gras.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So good things are going on.
Good.
That's what it sounds like.
So are you going to be chair daddy for like 8 or 9 years like predecessors?
Dear God, no. our elections are for a two-year term.
Uh-huh.
And this, of course, has been my first year, and we're going into my second year. And I feel like I'll probably, you know, go for that second term
mm-hmm.
and make it 4 years. But I know that will be my limit. Yeah. Yeah.
Smart
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
My goal is to get to Louis 40, actually.
I get it.
You're not getting a vacation during that 2 years, are you?
No.
Not even.
No.
Well, there... Shoot. I mean, we have meetings once a month only. Mm-hmm. And so... Oh, well, you're talking about a vacation. Whatever. I'm sorry, it's late. I'm not used to being up at this hour. Oh.
Excuses, excuses.
Yeah, well, if I'm up at this hour, it's usually...
Never
well,
mind.
It's not being here.
We won't go there. I'm usually pinning somebody. How's that?
There you go.
How's that? Speaking of pinning somebody...
I'm going to be doing that in just a moment.
We know that the previous... The previous, and who will always be known as Chair Dude,
yes.
Scott Kenyon.
Scott Kenyon.
Someone called him Chair Dude, I think it was last weekend, and he's like, I'm not that anymore. And it's like, yes, you'll always be Chair Dude.
That's right.
You know.
Just like your Chair Daddy.
There you go. There That's you right. go.
Well, we had a big debate on that. There were some people wanted to call him Chair Bear.
He didn't like that, though.
Sounds like a toilet paper commercial.
Sounds like well, that, I was going to say, it sounds like one of those... Well, you remember the cartoon Care Bears?
The Louis Weekend yes. website.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Fabulous board pictures. I think those are the most yes. wonderful things I've ever seen in my life. And who the heck knew that Tony's bathroom was so clean? Because the ladies not.
I have... Well, see, now, I've always said Tony's Corner Pocket has the cleanest restrooms.
Yeah, but you're going to men's room.
Yeah.
We don't even go there.
I mean, after the weekend of the Sisterhood of the Flutter Butts and then the Bears Chili Cook-Off, I'm surprised the bathroom was still standing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear. But I was going to say that I know that I broke at least the last two chairman's records for penning at a Louis.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Their excuse has always been they didn't have time. They were busy doing Louis stuff.
Okay.
Wrong.
Okay. And then maybe some people just like to do them. Whatever.
So let's end up. I want to do a pinning.
Silence. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wasn't it something like this that... caused you to not be on the air for a while.
Yeah, it was, actually.
It's going to be an abbreviated pin.
An abbreviated. Yeah. Not a true Texas-style pinning.
Not a true Texas pinning.
Okay.
Just for the camera.
A reenact.
No, you have to stand
just
out.
Just for the camera. Over yeah. here, guys. Over here.
I think this is going to be more of a collegiate style.
Yeah.
A fraternal thing.
Oh, Lord.
Stand up.
And Jimmy's thinking.
Why do I have to stand up?
So you,
oh, okay.
It's
okay.
A close-up shot.
Jim is on his knees, but it is not a true Texas-style pinning.
No. Did you get the pin?
He's strictly having to guess where the pin goes.
Okay, I'm going to do this
one. Does John look surprised?
We had somebody call in and asking what exactly Louis is.
I'm assuming that's where the pin would be.
Oh, yeah, my.
So for all those out there who aren't familiar with Louis yeah. while they're doing the pinning ceremony, oh, Louis is a leather Levi weekend, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday following Mardi Gras.
Well, this is pretty cool. And this was last year's winner.
This yeah.
Or this year's this
yeah.
year's Louis winner.
That's the Louis pin until next yeah. June.
What is 37 is the number of years it's been in existence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As a big Texas star and a tragedy and comedy
yeah.
mask on it. What does it say around the edges?
Houston Council of Clubs.
February 2010, yeah. Let us entertain you, Houston Council of Clubs.
Yeah. All the information
go.
It's supposed to have.
Yeah, each pin is required to have either HCC or Houston Council of Clubs, Houston, Texas, Louis or Let Us Entertain You, and either the anniversary year or the calendar year. So the next ones, and the comedy and tragedy masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a screw-on.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, being the fact that Louis is supposed to be kind of a leather Levi event, we have always opted for the screwbacks because the pins are so sharp and, you know, they can cause you some pain,
yes.
especially...
Some enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to use caution when pinning someone
yeah.
and certainly when wearing it later, too, But
getting a big old bear hug could be very painful.
It can be, yes. It can leave you lots of little
and
bloody
I carry
spots.
A pocket full of the little rubber things.
Yeah.
For people who.
Yeah. Yeah. Who don't want to.
Because it doesn't cover that pointy shaft.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
All right. I think we've had enough pin discussion.
Yeah. Chris, as far as your caller that asked what Louie was, you know, honestly, even though it started as and is still considered to be a Leather Levi event, it's open to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just, it's a people event more than anything. It really is. And it's
my,
just...
Oh, my, was it? Because I was there.
Yeah.
I only got to do the one night this year, even though I paid my registration and had fun that one
Your whole
night.
Great big $15, right?
Yeah, that my whole big $15. And it was worth it, though.
Great.
And I'm glad I paid my $15 because now I have my souvenir pin.
Oh, it's amazing. $15 is cheap for what you get.
Absolutely. But that one night that I was actually there, even though I was hosting an event that night, just the people there were just friendly, and they were having a blast, and so many smiles. Every time I turned around, somebody was smiling, lots of conversations, and just lots of alcohol.
Exactly.
Oh, that's why they were smiling.
Yeah. I know Chris and I dished out so much alcohol during our event, it wasn't even funny.
Yeah. It's just, it's an amazing time to meet people from everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And make lasting friendships. Mm-hmm. Because I know of many, many people, you know, we keep up with some of these people. You know, you meet people, you have conversations, you trade phone numbers, email addresses, and... It's making friends around the country and sometimes around the world.
It is. Yeah. And it's putting Houston on the map.
Well, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Judy, you still trying to stick him over there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know how it is when you have weak thumbs.
Oh.
Sometimes you have to screw the pin in.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. Well, sometimes I can screw the back on. I can't screw the pin in, but... Anyway, we'll get it done before the time's over.
But we do have to step out here in just a moment to do the top of the hour PSAs and the
and we'll be coming back with
FCC.
Yes, we will.
Yay.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks for having
us. Royal Highnesses, is that how we address them?
We're going to skip over that statement there and go to PSAs.
We've been at war with Iraq since 1990.
Saturday, March 20th, will be the 7th anniversary of the Second War in Iraq, which has claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. The war in Afghanistan, which has killed thousands more, will mark its 9th anniversary in the fall. On Saturday, March 20th, you can add your voice to the many across America demanding an end to these wars and funding for jobs, housing, and health care at home. Everyone is invited to a rally against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan at 2 p.m. in Mason Park, South 75th Street and Tips Street in Houston. For more information, please call 832-692-2306 or 281-93-9248.
We've been at war with Iraq for 20 years.
And your family are invited to Bluegrass by the Tracks at the Houston Railroad Museum on Saturday, April 10th from noon to 6. Yes, Houston does have a railroad museum with a fine collection of vintage rail equipment in a wooded setting in Northeast Houston. And on April 10th, the Lone Star Bluegrass Band, Digger Davis, Tombstone, and other musical groups will entertain all afternoon to benefit the museum. There will be food, fun, museum tours, and toys for the kids, and a rail fair with a model railroad flea market. Old trains, bluegrass music, it doesn't get any better than that. Saturday, April 10th, noon to 6 p.m. at the Houston Railroad Museum, located at 7390 Mesa Road. You can find additional information on the museum at HoustonRRMuseum.org. This is KPFT Houston.
Woo! Woo, 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 woo. You're bad. Just get on with it.
Woo, woo. Look at the caboose. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Something.
And we're back to G-Cam.
Hi, guys.
My God, I almost did that in a radio voice.
You did. Well, of course you're doing it in a radio voice every week. What are you talking about?
No, I kind of slipped in that little top 40 DJ.
No.
You're listening to After Hours.
Okay, what? Are you going to be all right, Chris?
No, I've never been right.
Well, I knew that.
You've been as far from right as you can get.
Not Chris.
If I was any further,
yes, Chris.
If I was any further from my right, I'd be writing. I would have to use my left hand.
Okay, and we're here with the we have
innuendo party
majesties,
of one,
King and Queen Olympus.
Long live the king.
And the
Amen.
Queen. Okay, we have Dwayne Todd, who is the King of Olympus, and Randy Stanger.
Correct.
Stanger, who is Queen Olympus this year. And that's what? I don't read these numbers well. 40?
No. 40.
40.
40.
That's right. It's
large.
40.
We're
right.
XL.
That's right. So, y'all have been king and queen now, what, 3 weeks?
February 6th.
February 6th. And how's it going so far? They haven't chased you off or made you crazy
They
or
haven't.
Anything?
They made us feel real welcome.
There you go.
Wonderful time.
So, what are your plans for this year?
Plans for the year.
We can start out small. Plans
well, it's a, it is a ceremonial position. We're chosen by the captain, and we represent the face of the crew for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my plan is to represent the crew at all crew functions and just have a good time. That's what Mardi Gras is all about.
Exactly.
It's about having fun.
So we go from Louis the crew of Olympus. What can you say? What a night for purple, green, and gold. Do you know, I'm assuming you know some of the history of the crew in New Orleans and in coming to Houston and
yeah.
so on. Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Well, this year is our, we're winding down our 40th year right now. Mm-hmm. The crew started in 1970 and it started in New Orleans. And it moved here to Houston, I believe, in 1992,
mm-hmm.
at Ball 22. And originally it started in New Orleans, the gay crews. They had balls that were not as elaborate. Things were made out of bed sheets, the dresses, and the backgrounds were maybe crepe paper. And when Crew of Olympus started, the first ball was Camelot. But everybody in New Orleans was thinking it was Camp a Lot. And so when the first time the ball came out and Merlin opened the ball, it was fabulous costumes and everything. And so the crew was the first gay crew in New Orleans that actually started the more elaborate type costuming and really living up the Mardi Gras traditions.
I've seen some of those old tapes that they did, and they are just absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah, I think originally they were a parody of the older crew balls were more of a parody of the traditional crew balls. But since those, you know, after they got over that initial experiment, then they decided that they would have the pomp and circumstances like the other ball.
And they do.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Was there anybody in particular that started it? Was it anyone's vision or was it just a group of people?
You know, I don't know the actual people that started it. There was a small group of people that started it now. The people that we attribute that who brought it from New Orleans to Houston is Ben Jones and Bill Walters. They were pretty much the ones that brought it over here. I don't think that they were in the first ball. I may be wrong on that, but I don't think they were. But they were right there afterwards, and they've kept the tradition going.
Mm-hmm. And why did they move to Houston? Was there any one factor?
Well, one of the major things was is that in the crew was hit very hard with with AIDS, and also the economy in New Orleans. And basically, the membership was down to almost I think they were the only two.
Right, and probably
Lucky.
And maybe.
Oh gosh, yes, Lucky.
And so they decided it was time to leave New Orleans and move to Houston. And a lot of the people in Houston were going to New Orleans to help them produce. So it was like the natural thing to do.
Going home,
yes.
So to speak.
Yeah, and they found a group of people that were, you know, ready to have a crew here in Houston.
Yes.
I mean, and it started off fairly small.
Believe it or not, I was one of them.
You sure were.
Well,
that's great. 94, yeah.
It's probably about 25, 30 people originally, mm-hmm. but, you know, now we're up to about 65
yeah.
members.
Yeah, it's amazing how it grew. It was just,
yeah.
every year it was just startling, the numbers that came out. It was like,
Okay, well, we'll deal with the growth again. And so, yeah, it was fascinating, the size of it so quickly.
And for the ball, how many people show up? There's more than 60 people there.
We have an average of probably around 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's invitation only and
formal.
But it is formal. Each crew member is entitled to a minimum of 10 invites. And most time you can get more. So we have an average of around 1,000 people at the ball.
Last year it was at the George R. Brown Convention Center.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the ballroom.
Yes.
But we've had it at the Astro Arena. Is it the convention center? I don't know what they call it, the Astro Hall.
I don't know what they call it anymore.
Yeah. And years ago, the Hornberger Center was.
You
kind
have
of,
heard that before you've been with
yeah,
the
our, but our last ball there was in 2001 for the space ball.
Yeah. Been there, done that. I like the fact that the risers this year were different than what they had been before. I mean, for a long time, we were all flat, and you've got like four rows of tables.
See.
And it's, you know, the thing, the show is actually in the middle, the program, the ball. And you really couldn't see much. And now they have these risers. The first year, the risers were really scary. Fortunately, I wasn't on them. I was on the ground. But the risers this year were very nice.
Were they? We've had the ball floor raised, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a.
I kind of like that too. That's
yeah, well,
different.
it works real good for the video because unfortunately sometimes in the video
on
when
the heads
you see a lot of people, but that also just shows our audience too. So we've tried different configurations. It really depends on the captain's vision.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Of course, the king and queen. We like it when it's on the floor because we have these elaborate trains and we want everyone to see it.
Right.
And if you're 6 feet higher than everybody else, they can't see you.
Yeah, the trains are spectacular.
The other part of that is there's a big ramp backstage. And going up the ramp is not that bad, but going down the ramp is pretty scary.
Sounds like that. All right, well, we'll just stay on the risers and let y'all have your floor.
Actually, I think it's a lot more intimate. I like that. I mean, we can actually walk up to the people. You know,
There's a disconnect when the ball floor is raised.
Yeah.
It really brings the ball home, I think.
So how long were you part of the crew for before...
I joined the crew. I haven't been as long as Randy, but I joined the crew, and my first ball was ball 35. So I've been in the crew 5 years,
and I've been in 10 years, or I guess 11. My first ball was ball 30.
Okay.
So I made took me to ball 40 to make queen.
There you go.
But the crew, there's a lot of work that's required in the crew. I mean, when we only have 65 members, but we do a lot of activities throughout the year, fundraising and things like that. And there's a lot of hard workers. So it's kind of hard to shine in the crew. You have a lot of competition.
Yeah. So to be a member, what is required to become a member of the crew?
You have to be invited by one of the other crew members, generally.
Okay.
Although we have had people solicit, you know, ask can they be a member, and we're usually very welcoming. They pay a $25 initiation fee, and they become it's not a full member at that
point.
I'm
an associate member.
Yeah. And then we expect them to show some participation level, and then whenever the next quarterly meeting comes up, then we take a vote on their membership.
Okay. And if you become a full member, what's expected of you as a member?
Well, the only thing that you're actually required under our bylaws is to be a member of one of our committees, and to also, as the saying in the crew goes, is that during ball weekend, your body belongs to the captain. And so you have to be there to help as much as possible. The good part about the crew is that you can be as active or as inactive as you want to be, and it has to do with basically just from my standpoint, it has to do with the more you put into it, the more you get out of it.
Exactly. So your charity this year, or charities, I don't know.
Well, we're just coming off, next week is our election, we're closing our fiscal year this month, but our charities for Ball 40 were Assisters, PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship, and the COPE 45's AIDS Trouble Fund.
Three fabulous charities.
Great charities.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you haven't announced your charities yet this year?
What we do is at the... In May, the crew gets together and we solicit people, organizations, 501c3 organizations, who would like to be considered.
Yeah.
And we solicit, we sit down and we have a committee and we look over these organizations, and then we actually have an entire membership meeting that gets together and look over the applications, and we vote on those organizations. So we'll be voting probably around May. Okay. For the ones for Ball 41.
Okay.
The vice president of the organization takes care of that meeting. They're the ones that organize the different charities.
Okay.
So when were you told that you were elected?
that's a great thing.
In May.
We were told in May.
Last year.
And see, we have to keep it a secret.
Nobody knows till
Ball
Day.
So everybody in the crew tries to... That's kind of one of your missions, is who's going to be the new royalty. And so we have to deflect that as much as possible. And so my scheme this year was, if someone came up to me and said, they started to bow or say, I think you're going to be royalty. Oh, no. And I would give somebody else's name. I think it's so-and-so and so-and-so.
Yeah, and Dwayne had a clever cover, because he chose an out-of-town member to suggest that they were going to be royalty, and they couldn't go to them and ask them because they were out of town.
Great.
So, it's hard throughout the year, but secrecy is one of our traditions.
Oh, yeah.
We try to keep our ball theme secret. In some years we're able to talk about it. Some years we try to keep that a secret so that our guests are surprised when they arrive.
I like the surprise.
Yeah. Well,
did you know each other who had been elected, or did you only know yourself?
The night that I was told, Randy had already knew.
I found out first.
And I was told that we were going to go to a dinner meeting to recruit a big heavy hitter. Someone who would want to make a contribution to the crew.
He was the fundraising director.
I was fundraising director last year. And I show up, and there's all these other people. I thought, well, wow, we are really pulling out the stops this year for this guy. And then I get there, and they announce it. And
The captain, we had two captains last year, San Stiefer and Andy Griffin, and they presented us with 40 yellow roses, which is another tradition of the crew. The yellow roses are presented to the royalty, and Sands is a wizard with, I don't know, all kinds of media, and he had this whole video presentation for us to show us.
Me.
Yeah, it's quite impressive.
A retrospective? Yeah.
Well, it really was just showing us what we were going to be as king and queen. We represented the seven seas. This year's ball theme was ports of call, and it really revolved around a cruise, cruise ships.
It was interesting. It was
really neat. And so every costume presentation was a place that you supposedly can either go to on a ship or on a shore excursion from a ship. We had a couple that were questionable.
But the audience didn't know that. We were there.
I don't know. I don't know of any ships that go to Baghdad, Iraq, for example. But we had a presentation on Baghdad. But so we were the seven seas that the ships were sailing on.
It was fascinating. I loved it this year. I mean, it's not that I've never loved it, but this year was especially colorful.
It was. And all the costumes.
40 numbers.
The costumes were huge.
They were.
No,
they were huge.
The people in costume, they're members?
And none of them fell apart.
They're all members.
Yes.
Right.
Because I saw a lot of costumes. I went to the pictures, and there was one group from last year that had like 40 guys in satin briefs. And that was... Two-thirds of your membership there.
Yeah, our choruses are... We have a kind of an informal competition among our captains to who's got the largest number of crew members in a chorus.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what the record is, but they get bigger and bigger every year. But we have individual presentations, and then we always have a chorus, that kind of is a musical interlude. And we show off our dancing skills, which is kind of funny. But we're not professionals, but we have a good time. And that's really what Mardi Gras is about, is having
totally
a good time.
I'm totally talentless and have two left feet. And I did a costume every year and loved it.
Yeah.
But I love the group numbers, too.
Yeah.
It was fun to get out there in a chorus and screw up with everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
It
was a lot of fun. Yeah,
it really was.
Truthfully, the only award that we give at the crew... Well, I guess we get two awards, but the major award that we give is the Cootie Award. And let me explain. Cootie is Crew of Olympus Texas Incorporated. Our initials just happen to spell Cootie. And it is basically the biggest mistake, faux pas, bad thing that happened in the crew for the whole year, primarily at the ball. costume malfunctions are usually
I can think
the
of a
ones.
Couple just when yeah. I was oh, yeah. They're amazing.
Yeah.
The thing is you work so much on these costumes, but most of the time you don't try them on to the day before the ball. And so you build it to last for 2.5 minutes on the ball floor, plus rehearsal, so 5 minutes. But if it runs a little bit over and it falls apart, then you end up with getting the award.
Yeah, you always have that 4 minute costume, and right. That 5 minute is the killer.
Well, I saw a guy that's with a welded frame holding up the back of his.
Oh yeah.
Some guys like really over engineer. Fortunately, this year Randy and I have. Our costume was huge.
We had huge back pieces, but they were held together with three pieces
yes,
of metal.
It was very
and
light.
What was it?
Well, it was a globe, and he was the, you were the Eastern Hemisphere. No, I was the Eastern Hemisphere. He was the Western Hemisphere. Uh-huh. And they were, 8 feet wide, eight feet tall.
Yeah, you can barely turn around.
But it was held with literally three pieces of metal.
Yes.
Yeah. We our structure was very minimal, and yet it held together.
Hey, whatever works, So y'all have underwriters for the ball.
We sure do.
And how does that work? If somebody just accidentally has some money and they're listening tonight and they want to be an underwriter?
I'm a director of fundraising for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and underwriting is very, very important to us. They literally underwrite the ball for us. And what we do is we have different levels of underwriting each year mm-hmm. that is determined by the ball captain. And with those levels, you get certain benefits. But basically, it is just a way of people contributing to a charitable organization, the crew, to help us pay for the ball. Okay. And we love our underwriters. We would not be able to produce a ball without the underwriters.
And the crew is a 501c3,
absolutely.
So it is a tax-deductible
yes.
donation.
Right.
Yeah. Now, to look up information on the crew, they can go to what? It's MardiGrasTexas.com?
MardiGrasTexas.com. And okay. we're also, that's going to be soon.
We're on Facebook, too.
MardiGrasTexas.org. But if you go to either one, it'll take you to the same
okay.
site.
And they can get information about underwriters?
Absolutely.
Underwriting there?
Yes.
Okay. Or
right.
becoming a member?
Yeah. Becoming a member. Membership's on there. Underwriting's on there.
Okay.
Everything is on there.
Our pictures.
Do you promote your underwriters?
Write your pictures.
Yes, we do. We have their names at the on big boards at all of our events. We give them special shirts.
There's a captain's party just a couple of nights
right,
before the ball that
party.
Where we invite all the underwriters. And then we're having an appreciation party this Sunday at, I guess, the Santa Fe. At JR's. And we invite all the underwriters to that. But really, anyone that wants to meet the crew or participate with the crew,
that's
come
fun.
Out to JR's this Sunday.
Yeah, 1 to 4.
We'll show the video of the ball.
Everybody is invited to come to the party this Sunday.
We've always been very lucky. GCAM always gets a copy of the ball.
Yeah.
They give it to us for our archive, and I love that. And Ben and Bell have been really great about giving us the older tapes that they put on CDs or DVDs.
They're really
well.
Quite wonderful.
They are. They are
and
fascinating.
The history.
Yeah, I've always, the crew is one of those things that's, it's a very different kind of organization when you look at all of what we have in the Montrose or in the area. The crew kind of stands alone.
Surprisingly not really well known because our events are primarily private.
Mm-hmm.
And we do try to appeal to the public for a lot of our fundraisers. But
you do 3 or 4 a year that are pretty public. Yeah.
Well, they're public, but it's really hard to get the word out of how fun those parties are.
Yeah.
We really would like a lot more people to show up. But we have a very good core of benefactors that come to all of our parties, support us, and these are underwriters plus just our friends,
yeah.
And but we'd like to have more, and so that's why we're reaching out through Facebook. We actually got a bunch of new people at our parties through Facebook this year, and so
well,
it's an interesting network.
didn't realize y'all had a Facebook page. I'll have to go look
absolutely.
At it and add it to mine.
Yes.
That works.
Become a fan.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've always been a fan. Give me strength. So. You had questions you wanted to ask? No questions? Jimmy's here.
I had a comment that I wanted to make to you guys. I really want to congratulate you on your choice of charities for this year. And I want to tell you why. Because those three charities are grassroots. And you will never know how important it is for a small grassroots organization to get money from an organization like yours. It really, really makes a difference.
Actually, I do understand that. And when I... being only one member with one vote, but I absolutely look for that, mm-hmm. because to us it is a lot of money, but to a giant organization it may not. It's just like a cup of coffee or something. But with the I've had people come up to me, sisters, and people come up to me, mm-hmm. and tell me that this little bit of money that you're giving us goes so far.
Absolutely,
and that makes you feel good inside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wish we could give them more.
Yeah, you can make a huge difference to a small organization, yeah. that way. Because so many of these, I know, like a sister's, it's all volunteers. So, mm-hmm. you know, they have no overhead. So all the money you give them goes for
right.
what they do.
Right.
So keep it up. And scholarships.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a tearjerker. I mean, yeah. I go to those meetings and I find out who's getting a scholarship, and it's like, You know, you hear all these stories, and it's like,
yeah,
God, mm-hmm. you know, I am a grown man, and I'm going to cry right here in front of everybody.
Yeah, we're very proud of, you know, all the charitable giving that we do, and because our fundraisers are to put on a ball, and sometimes people might think that's frivolous. I personally don't, because there's an artistic expression.
Oh, absolutely.
That needs to be kept. The tradition of Mardi Gras balls needs to be kept, and particularly gay balls, because I mean there's a sensibility of humor to our ball too. I mean, we're not serious about this. I mean, we have some serious costume presentation, but for the most part they're just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a primary goal of the crew is artistic expression. If we can help charities at the same time, because I think we get people revved up, ready to give.
Yes.
And I think that's the whole point of our art, is to get people excited. Because when they're excited, they'll give more. So
absolutely, and especially when you have such a fantastic presentation like the ball.
Yeah, and we throw beads. people love them.
Starting in the beginning of the year, outsiders are willing to kill each other to get a ticket to this ball.
Yeah.
Invitation.
It is an invitation.
Yes.
Yeah, and you are interested in doing what you do throughout the year in the hopes of getting one of those invitations, because they definitely are.
That's a hot ticket. It's a hot ticket.
Had you been there as guests before you were members?
I have.
I was there 1 year right before I became a member.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
I got there and I had no idea that the presentation was going to be the way it was. It was like, it's like going to a show in Las Vegas, something of that nature.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't believe it. That 60-member organization could put on something like this.
Well, and aside from just putting on a great, colorful show and collecting money all year when you do get 3 or 4 fundraisers you do, you have a collection in the center, in the middle of this show, too, almost
right.
like the intermission kind of thing. And even that's fun. I mean, you can't help but want to throw money at them.
Right.
Because it just...
Throw money
a lot
at
of
them.
Fun. Well, yeah, they have baskets or they have something. They have some way of collecting from
right.
the audience.
Right. We had a group of gypsies go out in the audience this year.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Sweet.
So much fun.
It's hard to say no when they're standing up. You this, know. You know, 7-foot guy with his huge costume on. And
please give.
It's like, okay, I'll give you some money if you just go away.
we warn most of our guests. They know to expect it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. But it's just a fun way to collect
it
money.
It is.
Yeah, it's like...
And everybody's in a good mood. And they're just emptying their wallets.
Right.
Well, you do have the bars in the back of the room, too.
The bars do help.
Yes, they do help.
How long does the ball last?
Oh, hours.
yes, sometimes that's considered a criticism.
It's running about 3 hours.
It's running about 3 hours.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because every member wants to do a costume just about, and hopefully the ball captains in the future will look at possibly combining some presentations together to make it a little... Time, we're pushing the envelope on the time.
Yeah. But every minute of it was packed this time. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of lull. And
we ran a little late this year because the Queen was having trouble getting dressed.
Not enough dressers back there?
Apparently, the dressing crew forgot about the Queen. And so by the time they did show up... We weren't ready when the time came. So we had an emergency bead throw. We've learned, whenever something happens, throw beads. It kills time, and the people love it. So once the beads were done, then I was all pinned up and ready to go. It was kind of a moment for me. But see, one of the problems of wearing a costume is you cannot put it on yourself. You have to have people put it on you. And so it just takes a little bit of time sometimes.
And I've talked with a lot of people, especially the cults, who have worked backstage, and they love it. They have the best time working back there. They would rather be back there than in front of
them. I know. Well, one of the things about...
Yeah, the members had to do that.
Yeah, when you're backstage, you don't see the ball. When you're in the ball, you don't see the ball. And we don't even see it till the next day when we always get together and watch a rough cut of the video. So we actually find out what people do, because people they're very sly during dress rehearsal. They will not reveal their secret of their presentation.
But the cults are fabulous. They help us so much. It's great because on Friday nights we have dress rehearsal. We had the cults there, and I was telling them on our costumes that, you know, I need this button here, and this goes here like this. And the next day, you know, like Philip Lyles comes to mind. I mean, he already remembered everything. You know, he had everything where we were supposed to, how things were supposed to go.
Wow.
And so it was like...
and he's the one that's been here and talked about it.
Right.
Loves it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been fun.
It has been fun.
Thanks.
So I'm just so glad you're here.
And this is the first time the crew has ever been on After Hours.
And now it's my chance to put them on the spot.
Oh.
All right.
Are y'all ready for this?
Oh, here we go.
Okay. On April the 11th, which is a Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'm doing my annual Rainbow Tent Revival show for GCAM, and I'm asking different groups to do a group number. And the crew has done this for me before, and I'm hoping that y'all will do it again this year. Obviously, any kind of fun religious thing you can come up with. We're also asking individuals to do numbers as well, but I'm trying to get as many groups to do as they can. You know, get these big choir church ladies out there and do their thing. And I'm hoping
big hair and robes.
Absolutely.
Girl. Damn, girl.
Be glad.
And I would love for the crew to come out and do another
be glad to come out, and we'll get the chorus to come out and help you. Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at EJ's on the patio.
And what time?
At 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, April the 11th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is a benefit?
Yes.
It is a benefit. Actually, it's a benefit for GCAM.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got to pay that rent and do that story.
Sounds fun.
And I will send y'all an email to remind you and send you the poster. But I would be so excited if y'all came back.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Love to do it.
See, no one's so painful.
No, not at all.
All right, see?
It's kind of what we do.
It is.
My goal this year as king is to, as Randy said earlier, just to be like an ambassador to the community.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help the community and also let the community know more about the crew. So I'm willing to help in anything I can do on that.
Okay, great. Well, maybe at some point during one of our breaks, you can make a little plug for the crew.
Sure.
That'd be nice.
Great. Hey, and Judy, don't forget, the Sisters of Perpetual Immense Girth are doing one number for you.
I know. I'm so excited about that.
And a twisted part is, if I'm feeling well enough, I might be doing an individual number for you.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm not sure under what title I'll use.
Wow.
That's okay.
That's not Christy.
Let me know what it is. Oh, we had a dress that we found the other day for the closet, Chris. It just screamed Chris.
Ah.
Oh, yes. Is it still in your living room?
Yes, it is.
Uh-oh.
Jimmy has it in his apartment.
Yes.
It's for...
Earthquake, Queen Kong.
You forgot.
Tony Watford.
Queen Kong.
Queen Kong.
Perpetual Closet for Desperate Drag Queens. I'm going to teach it to him eventually. But anyway, yes, there is a dress in Jimmy's living room for you, Chris.
We have a drag closet that is available to the community.
For borrowing.
Because there's a lot of guys who do drag once a year, and they don't want to go out and buy stuff.
Sure. Call me.
Come to GCAM. We've got it for no matter what size you are.
We have wigs, we have shoes, we have bags.
We've got up to
6X. We do. From a size 2 to a 6X.
You've seen me. Did I ever return that cocktail dress?
Did you say undergarment?
Oh, shoot.
Some.
I'll get taken care of.
Drag queens have to have undergarments.
Well, yes.
We do not furnish duct tape. And anybody who's been in drag probably knows what that means. So I think we should probably... clothes on.
Okay.
Anything y'all want to say? I mean, tell us how to get in touch with you again.
It's www.mardigrastexas.com.
And it's next Sunday you've got something
next Sunday at JR's 1 to 4. We have an appreciation party. We're going to be bringing food. We're going to bring the beads. We're going to bring good conversations and friends.
And the video of the ball.
And the video of the
it's
ball.
Not tomorrow. That's next Sunday.
That's next Sunday. A week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or a week from today.
Yeah.
At the 28th. And then JR has their special happy hour prices.
Great. Right. And when the crew brings food, it's good.
Yeah. We know how to cook.
Oh, yeah.
I like that version of the ball. That's always fun. I love it when people see themselves on film or on screen for the first time after the ball. It's like, I did that? It's like, okay, it's over now.
And you were saying you wanted to know how long the ball lasted. It lasts just long enough for me to rush to the station to be able to announce the new royalty.
That's right. So
long may they reign.
Yeah.
First.
Oh, and thank y'all for the gifts GCAM gave. The little Queen of Hearts box, I love it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm glad you're there. See, that's what happens when you're in call-ups.
Yeah. We got a lot of pretty gifts.
Did you?
That's always fun, too, going through all those.
Oh,
look at that hat. I just adore that hat. That's so wonderful.
Wow.
It's a crown for all seasons.
That's right, my crown hat.
I love that.
I'd be careful walking on the street in that thing. Well, thank you guys for coming.
Thanks so much
thank
for
you.
Being here.
Yes, thank
you.
We'll probably have you on again sometime before the end of the year.
Please
love
do.
To.
Good.
Thanks.
Good.
You got some music for us?
Yeah, I sure do.
You're so good to us.
And we'll be back after this.
Kicking it old school there, I'd say.
Yeah.
Sylvester.
We're going to... From way back when, but it kind of reminds me of when you first started with the show, Take Me to Heaven.
It's because I covered the fire there.
Yeah.
Fire. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Going back, we're going to have our... Up until the top of the hour here, we've got...
What have we got?
Yeah, noise going on in there. Oh. They played musical chairs.
Oh.
I know, I got shoved.
Boy, if that's how easy it was to move, then Jimmy should have learned that maneuver a year and a half ago.
I will never teach Jimmy that maneuver.
So that was Sylvester, Take Me to Heaven. And we got G-Cam here coming up to the top of the hour. Then we got Gigi. And then I guess I better start searching for things to do for a roundtable.
That's always fun, isn't it? Looking for things to do for Roundtable, that is.
I didn't really see any of the really twisted stories that likes to jump out at me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Quiet week? Is that what you're saying?
I guess the gerbils and goats have been safe this week.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, the two topics that were most popular on our Roundtable are either bestiality or how did that end up there?
Okay, right. All right. Well,
because we still have the story of the church vicar in England who was hanging curtains in the nude and fell off his chair and fell backwards on the table. And fortunately for him, there was already greased potato there waiting to catch his fall.
Oh, I heard about that. Yes. Yes. That was sad, wasn't it? Yes. I used to work in the emergency room at Bel Air Hospital. There's nothing I haven't seen or heard.
I mean, there's an easier way to make bankers and MASH, I think.
Yeah, Frank.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris, for that little interlude.
So we're going to talk about Waiting to be Mended?
We're going to talk about Waiting to be Mended for a few minutes, yes. Cool. Waiting to be Mended is a show currently running at Theater Suburbia. It has actually tomorrow a benefit performance at 3 o'clock, and then next Friday and Saturday nights at 8:30, and then it's going to close Saturday night, so it's just got three more performances.
That's right.
It's written by a local Houstonian, Gwen Flager.
Mm-hmm.
It's her first attempt. It is currently unpublished. We are, in fact, doing the world premiere of this show. And I have to brag a little and say, I directed it. Excuse me. I just had to brag. And John, who is my sidekick here, is actually doing the tech for the show.
Yep.
You do great vroom vrooms and
sound effects.
Sound effects. Lights and so on.
Yeah, but it's really intense. I don't think people get a chance to see something like this very often.
No, and I'm very glad. I like to do the cutting edge kind of stuff.
It's edgy.
It is very edgy. And it's way out of the box for Theater Suburbia.
You know, but what's, they let us do with it. What's interesting is the audience is, you know, older.
Yes.
And
very receptive.
You would think, or I would think, very conservative. Yes. And yet, the play opens pretty rough.
Yeah.
Without giving anything away.
Closing, yeah.
Yeah. And they're seeing stuff they probably weren't anticipating.
That's true. It's basically, I think it was advertised as a character study.
Which
in small town,
is.
You know, southern state, I think Georgia, yeah. I don't think they ever said, but anyway. And the interesting, or the best part for us, is it's about the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
It's and it's got all of the love, the hate, the religious faction, you mm-hmm. know, the whole nine yards. And it's very well put together. It's very well
yep.
done. Gwen did a great job. And the actors have been just extremely receptive to
yeah.
it. They're doing a fabulous job of it. And so I'm going to be this is going to be one of those bittersweet endings next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Saturday night, I guess it's almost sold out.
Yeah?
Yep. A few tickets left for that, and then Friday and tomorrow, that's
Friday
it.
Friday and tomorrow, that's right. And tomorrow's pretty full house, but there are still some tickets left. And if you're interested, then you can call for reservations at 713-682-3525. And leave a message, and if you need to call back, Doris will call you back, and if you don't, then she'll just put you down. Mm-hmm.
Give a synopsis about what it is.
I can't.
No, just cut down.
No,
try.
I can't.
Okay.
I really, you
so,
want to try that? Go ahead.
Right.
I've just tried very hard, but don't give it away.
Without giving it away. Okay, so it's basically about the relationship between an older couple without children. There's a young college student that comes to live with them who is in a relationship with another woman.
She's discovering herself, yes.
From the community. Mm-hmm. And the husband of the couple has a problem with that.
Yes.
And
yes.
So he has this woman who he knows is a lesbian living in his house. And
He's very religious, and his church pretty much rules his life.
But he always wasn't like that, though. That's
no.
the interesting
no,
thing.
No, this is a slip in his little, you know, his little cog slip yeah. there. So we're watching the couple struggle with the changes in their life, aside from this new border.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching the woman deal with the relationship with the young lady from college, which is news for her too.
Mm-hmm.
So having no children, it's interesting having a young woman in the house who could easily be her daughter at that age.
Is it okay to talk about the people and the actors in the play?
Absolutely.
And the because I thought it was interesting that the husband is actually gay.
Yes.
And the woman who plays the college student is the mother of
Four children. Yeah. Four children, yeah. Lee Raymond plays the lead female in the play. And she actually makes no bones about it, and I think she said it on the radio, so I believe I can too. She has children who are of the gay persuasion
mm-hmm.
and family members. And she's never really done a dramatic piece before, and I call this a dramatic piece. I don't know.
She carries it right off.
But she definitely does a bang-up job.
Yeah.
And Tom McHenry has done film in the past. He hasn't been on a stage in like 40 years. He has plays the part of her husband
And I have to admit that Elmer, that's his part, his role in the show, is someone who is slipping and losing a little ground on as far as reality and his mm-hmm. personality are concerned. And it's a real stretch for Tom. He's really a sweet guy.
Yeah.
And it was really, you know, it took a lot of direction to teach Tom to be a not such a nice guy. Okay? So that was kind of interesting. Anne Sanford plays the college boarder, and she is the mother of four kids. And we have Laura Schlecht as her.
Did you know Anne before you
met her? No, I
did not.
No.
She just walked into the theater and wanted that.
Yeah, she came into auditions and nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Laura Schlecht is her counterpart. She's the other college student partner. Yeah, mm-hmm. she's her new love interest. Jeff Henninger plays the part of Laura's father in the show, and he's very receptive to his daughter's mm-hmm. homosexuality. Julie Minervo comes in as the church lady, and I'm not even going to go there. She is just the most wonderful.
You gotta kind of see it to believe
bitch
it.
You ever saw in your life? She is so typical of so many church ladies.
No, that doesn't.
I said
deserve
so many. I didn't say all. No, she does. I have people coming in from the audience almost every night that say, "Oh, she could have been so and so in our church." You know, there's yeah. always one who is just so sweet and wonderful to your face and just oozes gossip and everything else. And Julie does the part well. And again, she said she had to call on her inner bitch to do this. And yeah. once she found her, boy, they went to town.
Can we get down and dirty on one of the scenes? I got a question for you.
How down and dirty do you want to get?
Was it, you have these two women kissing on stage?
Yes, I do.
Was that a problem to set up?
It was not a problem to set up. It took a little bit of rehearsal. You don't. Directing is not always saying you stand there and you stand there. Sometimes it's a bit of choreography, and that definitely had to be choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
They were receptive to the idea.
Why did it have to be choreographed?
Well, you have audiences who are very open to certain things, and no matter how open they are to like the GLBT lifestyle or whatever, actually sitting there a few feet away from two women kissing is a little beyond their realm of reality. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want to see it. They don't mind talking about it. They don't mind knowing that it exists. But they don't necessarily want to see it happen. And you have to remember, too, that a lot of our audiences are in the 50 to 70 range.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a lot of young audiences. No one's
walked out, as far as I know. And no one... they have?
We have had a couple walk out. And,
really?
But on the other side of that, they didn't complain when they left, so you never know why they did. One of them may have gotten sick. Something may have happened. They didn't walk out
in the middle of the show, though.
No. They walked out in the middle of the show, not in the middle of the act. They waited till intermission.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
They waited till intermission.
And the truth of the matter is, not every show is for everybody.
No.
And even the playwright, though, when she came to see the play, was a bit on the shocked side that I actually had the girls kiss.
Really?
And I went, it's so appropriate. It is natural.
Yeah.
You know, the very first time they went through this on the floor, as opposed to sitting in their chairs reading the lines, it was like it was a natural chain of events. I can't imagine it not happening that way. And yet it is in the dialogue as well.
Mm-hmm.
So had they not actually kissed, it would have made the dialogue seem odd to me. And I'm a stickler for detail when I'm directing. I can drive them nuts with details.
Well, normally the audience is just like watching. I very rarely see any reaction unless there's something
you
big.
Occasionally, yeah. I sit down on the floor with them, and you do hear the oohs and ahs or once in a while, you know, the gasp comes out.
I have this image burned in my memory from last Sunday when there was three women maybe in their 60s or early 70s mm-hmm. Sitting in the row, and when it gets to the point where the two women kiss, the one in the middle just sat up straight, couldn't believe what she was looking at. I was thinking, well, yeah.
We'll see if they make it through intermission, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, and there's a lot of action and reaction in this show. I one guy came up to me at intermission. I was outside with a friend of mine because he was smoking. Anyway, and he says, "Well,
I've been glad, I've been mad, I've laughed, I've cried in the first act. He said, what the heck's left for the second act? I said, wait and see, because the second act is a lot better than the first, as far as I'm concerned. And he came up afterwards and says, oh my God, you are so right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so yeah, there's a huge range of emotions in this show. And that's for anybody. That's mm-hmm. not just for someone who's gay or someone who doesn't like gays or they're a comic or whatever. Although
Jimmy says if you don't go, you'll have to turn in your gay card.
That's true. James did say that.
Yes, he did.
Yes, and he's ignoring us because he's whispering in Chris's ear right now, so that's okay.
Okay.
But he didn't have a headset on either. So. Mm. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention Haig Caesar and Renee Bean, who play the police officer and EMT, yes. respectively.
And stagehands.
And stagehands, yes. They that's do right. assist Daryl with the setting the stage, which is very frequent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a fascinating show.
It is.
I really think it's pretty much a show for anybody. Because
you wouldn't think so if you read the description. You might be turned off.
Yeah, you might
be
turned off.
But you kind of have to see it to believe it.
Because the truth of the matter is, it's not a show about gays.
No,
okay.
It's about the couple.
It's a whole range of relationships between many, many people. I mean, yeah, the couple and their relationship, her relationship with the boarder, his relationship with the boarder,
mm-hmm.
the boarder's relationship with her counterpart, the other college student, and both of their relationships with the college student's father and even her mother, mm-hmm. who is never seen on the show.
Yep.
So it's just a myriad of relationships. They're all different. And I dare say there hasn't ever been anybody in the audience who couldn't relate to at least some part of any of those relationships. So it's a fascinating show.
Cool. So three nights left.
Three nights
tomorrow
left.
Tomorrow at
3 o'clock,
3
tomorrow.
O'clock, Friday.
Friday and Saturday, both at 8:30.
And if you're lucky on Saturday.
Yeah. If you come on Saturday, which is pretty much a full house at this point, but not totally, then you can stay for the
after show.
Closing show, the party,
mm-hmm.
Where we do a lot of food, a lot of drink.
Doris will make her cheese dip, hopefully.
I think I'm making a dessert this time. I made my sweet and sour meatballs last for opening. I'm going to make a dessert for closing, and the one I have in mind is decadent. So
excellent.
We'll see what happens.
And to meet the playwright, too.
And meet the playwright. That's right. She will be there for closing. And she's a fascinating person.
I haven't spoken to her.
She's working on her second show right now.
Has she told you what it's about?
To say Selma, Alabama in the 70s would be pretty much an eye-opener for you. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's going to be another one of those.
Mm.
I can't wait for her to finish it.
Mm.
So. But hello.
So what's on the agenda for your next directing job? Do you have any idea?
I've been reading some plays. Don't really have one that I've zeroed in on yet to give to the board. The board makes the final decisions. I'm hoping Gwen will finish her next one before then, but not necessarily. You know, the next time I direct, assuming they pull me in as a director again next year, will be Suburbia's 50th.
Wow.
Season.
Wow.
That's got to be a huge season. The plays that get picked for that season have got to be spectacular.
And John, what about you? Are you going to do some
I'm
more?
I'm on vacation.
You're going to do some more tech? Or?
No, I'm on vacation until next year.
John's my. Until next year.
Do you want to go into directing?
No.
Really?
You're a tech guy, huh? Tech guy.
Sitting in the dark room by myself, that's my gig.
Careful. You can get banned again.
Yeah, that's true.
I love it because John is a great tech guy.
I know.
I mean, this particular show, he sneaked off to New York for 10 days on me, and it was like, oh, I'm not going to be there Friday. I'm like, what? You know, it's like, you have to be there. So we
because
had
you were you were talking to me because there's so much in this play.
Yeah,
because
actually when I started rehearsals on this play, I was hoping to pull you in an extra week for rehearsals.
Yeah.
And then you told me it was going to be
it's
gone,
amazing.
And I panicked.
It's amazing how everything came together. You know, in the space of maybe a week, you went from relative chaos to everything works.
The story of my life.
Yeah. Somehow it all irons it out. So we're going to talk about GCAM? Oh, you were going to talk about what you did in Austin?
No. Jimmy disappeared again.
College Station.
No, I'm right here.
What did we do this week, Jimmy, with GCAM?
Oh, my goodness. We went to College Station. I talked about it at the beginning of the show, and we made a presentation to the annual meeting of the Texas Association of Museums.
Right, and it was very well received. We were the first GLBT museum ever to be asked to present for TAM, and it was very exciting. It was very scary.
It was
extremely scary. I mean, I've been in panic mode for 2 months. If I didn't have this play to keep me busy, I'd have gone out of my mind.
But it went swimmingly, even with my laryngitis.
It's like, I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can.
So you're surrounded by museum professionals?
Yes.
What'd you talk about?
Yes.
Well, we talked about, basically, they wanted us to talk about the history of GCAM and the struggles we've seen as far as, you know, keeping afloat and not actually having a museum building.
Mm-hmm.
And the financial struggles of, you know, paying for storage and keeping things safe in storage. And it really has been a struggle. We've never had any major funding.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And generally they say you have to survive 5 years before a funder will even look at you. And we've made it 10. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden...
And they're still not looking.
No, all of a sudden it seems like people are starting to notice.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight. Some things aren't even going to happen in my lifetime. But I still move towards that goal.
You've got some folks from the university showing some interest.
We have Rice University. Brian Riedel and his group at Rice University have taken an interest in not just GCAM, but all the collectors here in the Houston area. And then I had two students from UT Austin come 2 weeks in a row to do a needs assessment on our collections in storage. And I will tell you right now that in 7 of those 9 storage rooms, there is not a box they did not unearth, go through, and make comments on in their notes.
And can you talk about the punchline for that?
The punchline for that is they will complete the needs assessment and send me that report. And a part of their requirement is to write an NEH grant application, a complete application, and submit it for us.
Which is hard work.
Yes, it is. It is.
So we're very excited about that, and we have other museum individuals who are contacting me by email and so on now since the TAM thing.
Great.
So we're just going to wait and see where it goes.
All right.
We'll be very excited. Thanks so much for coming again.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Great. This is fourth time.
This. We'll be back again next month. Not sure who's going to be here yet.
Thanks for the pin, Jimmy.
You're very welcome.
I took pictures.
Okay.
Bye, James.
Time for the PSAs and top of the hour station identification. This is KPFT Houston.
This fall, KPFT will hold an election to seat delegates on the local station board. There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's 5 local station boards. That election may seem like a long way away, but it will be here before you know it. Why not consider participating in KPFT as a member of our board? Board delegates are elected to bring diverse, grassroots voices from the community into dialogue between the community and the station. Candidates are chosen in both listener and staff pools. There are 2 ways to qualify to vote and run. Listener candidates can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station, or volunteers can complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Pacifica's principles inspire us to strive for diversity, and we encourage members of our diverse communities to consider being a part of this board. This is KPFT Houston.
Helping for their emancipation and peace.
Let another world be born.
This is the stage of capitalism in which we find ourselves.
Somos víctimas de su violencia y guerra.
You can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolution.
Interested in studying contemporary political theory? How about debate and discussions on current revolutionary events? The FIRE Collective, based in Houston, hosts a bi-weekly study group exploring the unique tapestry of ideas, actions, and visions. The FIRE Collective study group meets the second and fourth Tuesday of each month.
Check the website, thefirecollective.org, for times, locations, and latest readings.
Through understanding history and a common vision, together we can increase unity and consciousness.
Again, that website website is thefirecollective.org for upcoming study group dates, locations, and the latest readings.
KPFT, Houston.
And you are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. And we have... God, you got a squeaky chair.
Hey, I just sat down.
You want to trade out? Trade out with another chair?
Yeah, why not, real quick.
Yeah, this is coming up here at the top of the hour. It's 2 o'clock. After Gigi, we'll be doing Roundtable, playing some more music in here. Couple of headline things to give you an idea of what some of we're going to be covering. Got a music video that I found on here called Hot Damn, Homo versus Hetero, from a band called Serious Business. We're going to be bringing later on in the show. Clark Gable News. And a call out for testing at the gay games. And you won't believe what he wants to test. So let's make sure we're still on the talk button. Yeah, we're still in talk mode. So.
Hello,
Gigi.
Hello.
Oh, let me turn my chair around so it's... It looks like we're actually talking to each other.
Oh, yes.
So what topic did you bring for us this week?
Well, tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about... different forms of masturbation for men.
Well, thank God. The last time we talked about masturbation, it was about women. And I had zero interest in that.
Oh, I know. Well, actually, in the Radical Fairies, we've got a group of men that get together and do what's called MM for M, which stands for Mindful Masturbation for Men.
Okay.
And basically, it's kind of borrowed some from Taoism and from some other sources.
Not going Taoistic. No.
Well, actually, and it's loosely on Taoism.
Yeah. Inside joke.
I wanted to kind of start there and kind of go to some other places, too. One of the things about this group that I find really good is that it's not just empty sex.
Okay.
It's about making a connection with yourself, with each other, and with more of a spiritual kind of angle to it. Kind of raising that level of consciousness, but also forming a genital heart connection.
Okay.
And being able to have, for men to be able to have full body orgasms and non-ejaculatory orgasms, as well as ejaculatory.
Yeah. Because we're talking about something on a higher plane than just, you know, the 15 seconds it takes for your eyes to roll to the back of your head.
I have done it within less than a minute, but and then I've gone many, many hours.
Yeah.
It's learning new techniques, how to spread the sex energy throughout the entire body instead of keeping it focused just on the penis. I know when I grew up, you kind of did it, shot, and you were done, you know.
Grab a sock, grab a t-shirt.
Yeah, or let it go all over yourself. Or
yeah.
Which is good. I love that kind of masturbation, and I still perform it regularly. But I also like the more, where you get into a more full orgasm. And it involves working with the body's energy fields. We each have chakras. Basically, energy centers that...
I'm sorry, in the background, I'm hearing someone dialing into AOL.
Yeah, that's
from 1980.
Where's that coming from?
Yeah, go ahead and close the door, because there's a time warp going out in the lobby, apparently. I hadn't heard a bawd modem going on in ages.
That's weird.
I'm sorry. You younger folks, you need to go to Wikipedia and figure out what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. But anyway, the body has energy centers. And when you can kind of take your sex energy, build it up, and spread it all through your different chakras, working it through your energy fields, you can have some amazing things happen.
Yeah, because the greater release, because you've stored up the energy.
Yeah. Well, it's also circulated throughout the entire body. I've had orgasms using these techniques where the orgasm didn't really originate anywhere in my body. It was everywhere in my body.
Okay.
Every part of me went into orgasm, and it stayed there for a good long period of time, much longer than your usual ejaculatory type orgasm.
Yeah.
And it can be very intensive. I've had out-of-body experiences where I'm floating over myself during one of these orgasms. It's really incredible. But basically, it's learning some breathing techniques, learning how to not just focus everything on the penis, but circulating that energy throughout all your erogenous zones, throughout your entire body.
Because if you train it right, your whole body can become, everyone just thinks of certain areas being an erogenous zone.
Yeah.
You can actually turn the whole body into different way of pleasuring each one of those erogenous zones.
Mm-hmm.
But you can turn the whole body basically into one.
Oh, yeah. And it's all about energy. I mean, when you think about it, you can have an orgasm without any physical stimulation. Purely from fantasy, or purely in your dreams, when you have a wet dream.
Yeah. I was starting to think when you're talking about it, that's the definition of a nocturnal emission, but not to the full orgasm stage. That's just mainly an ejaculation.
Yeah.
Stimulation, because the orgasm would probably wake you up out of your slumber. And
actually, it doesn't always. I've remembered from the dream having an orgasm when I woke up the next morning and found the bed was wet. I think it's also important to distinguish that a lot of men think that ejaculation equals orgasm. And actually, they're two separate things. You can have an ejaculation without orgasm, and you can have orgasms without ejaculation.
Yeah.
And they're very different. It's just in most men, they occur simultaneously. And so a lot of men never learn that there are two different things going on. It's just most of the time, they happen within milliseconds of each other.
I remember I studied a little bit of sign language, and the sign for ejaculation or coming is looking like you're stimulating both the mind and the genitals at the same time. And that's a symbol, because I remember it best watching the second march on Washington. Leah Delaria was making fun of the interpreter for the deaf. And she said, she has to sign everything I say. And so she started just shouting out, "I'm coming, I'm coming." And this poor woman is having to sign this on the stage where it looks like she's fingering herself and rubbing her forehead at the same time. And that just shows that, as an expressive of what that,
the mind,
what the act
body
is, you have to see. It's showing, you have to show the connection.
Yeah.
Because that's how you have to interpret it for people who may not understand the concept.
Yeah. I've always been amazed at how the body is wired and how it differs from person to person to some degree, our neurological wiring. You think about it, of all the fetishes and all the things that turn people on and how diverse it is. Some people get turned on by wearing women's garments. Some people get foot fetishes, or breast fetishes or you name it.
Yeah.
I've even known, I had a girlfriend once that if I just licked right behind her ear, it would send her.
Oh, yeah.
And boyfriends. It's just amazing the different things that can trigger sexuality. And I came across something just today. There's a discussion on one of the listservs I'm on it's on sacred sex temples. And one of the things that kind of came up on this was this whole concept of what is sex? What is orgasm? And you start thinking about it, it's quite an interesting phenomenon. You know, there's nothing else in this entire world exactly, you know, that comes even close to what happens when we orgasm.
Yeah.
You know, it's really amazing to me that, you know, you can reach an orgasm through so many different ways. Excuse me. And there's so many different types of orgasms. And I think that that's one of the things that a lot of men, you know, unfortunately in our culture, they're never taught.
Well, yeah, because it's all taboo.
Yeah.
I mean, sex, unfortunately, we still have that Puritan root from back then that we don't discuss sex. Sex is dirty. Sex is evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if they had their way, it would just be man and a woman still through a sheet with a hole cut in it. In a lot of ways. That's, unfortunately, that puritanical. And you have to go to more of the Eastern philosophies where they honor and respect the sexual act of...
Yeah.
You know, of Japan and of India especially, where they understand the process of it and
well, Japan and India and China. One of the things that's really kind of central and that can really help men is working on their PC muscle exercises, developing their PC muscles. Because those are your sex muscles.
Okay.
It's the pubococcygeus muscles. Basically, it's a muscle string that goes from the pubic bone to the tailbone and interconnects everything in between.
Basically, the taint muscle.
Yeah. Well, it's more than just the taint.
Yeah.
It does figure eights all the way through.
But basically, it's connecting the same points. What we
yeah.
I'm just trying to put it into simpler layman's terms.
Oh, okay,
that,
yeah.
You know, we've got, you know, the teenagers out there really don't need any help discovering masturbation. But, you know, when we try and put some of these more, you know, yes, we want to try and make it more scientific so it doesn't sound like we're just talking about jacking off.
Yeah.
But we have to sometimes, I think we have to take a step back and say, hey, we are talking about jacking off, and if we're going to talk about these certain point A and point B, let's sometimes throw in that colloquial term that
yeah.
our audiences can understand. So
yeah.
basically, the taint highway.
Mm-hmm. And by developing those muscles, doing exercises, the way to identify them is when you're peeing, you squeeze your muscles to shut off the stream of pee. And once you've identified those muscles, start exercising them by squeezing, releasing, and do it with deep breathing. And over time, you can develop your muscles to where the head of your cock will expand as you squeeze,
mm-hmm.
probably about double what it would and for most men that never practice the exercises.
Well, because you're kind of pumping the blood into it anyway, but
yeah.
not the friction.
But for most people in our culture, men and women both, we have very undeveloped PC muscles because
mm-hmm.
we never use them except during sex. But if you practice 15, 20 minutes a day doing these exercises, you'd be amazed at what it will do. And, I'm speaking just of physical.
Yeah.
But for pleasurable, it really sends it out the roof.
I say probably if you're going to the first time you should try exercising those muscles, you probably want to do it while you're in the shower.
Yeah.
Because if your mind is still connecting that when you are stretching those muscles back and forth, it's going to think to open up the bladder, and you might...
Not really.
Well, if it's in the same area, I mean, until you train yourself.
Yeah.
Your mind may be saying, okay, I'm going to stretch this, contract this muscle, stretch this muscle. But some part of your body might say, hey, wait a minute, I only do this when I'm peeing, so if he's telling me to relax this muscle, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying it is first
I've
time.
I've never heard of it happening.
Yeah, but there's going to be somebody out there who's going to pee on the floor and they're going to get upset. we didn't warn them that it could happen. You could piddle.
Yeah. And actually, what they've discovered is that men that practice this have a healthier prostate gland throughout their lives if they do it on a regular basis. They also tend, if someone has hemorrhoids, it tends to heal hemorrhoids. It gives you better control, not only with sex, but with bladder control.
Now, when you start talking about the hemorrhoids, you're talking that this muscle also affects in the rectum?
In the anus, yeah. Basically, you have two muscles in the anus.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the muscle that's connected to the PC muscles, which is the external, well, not external, but the outer set of muscles.
The first ring of muscles.
And that's a voluntary muscle. You can squeeze, release. The other set, which is just behind it, is an involuntary muscle. You can't consciously relax it or tighten it. And that's where most people feel pain during anal sex, is because they haven't relaxed that internal muscle. And there are some techniques to learn how to relax it, how to trick the body to get it to relax, because it is involuntary. It's like your heartbeat.
Yeah.
You can't make your heartbeat go faster or slower through conscious thought. Now, some Eastern meditation techniques can teach you how to slow it down and speed it up, but it's not a voluntary muscle. So basically what you want to do to relax that muscle is to massage the whole area and do some PC muscle exercises, squeeze, release. And to really relax it, if you're wanting to get into anal sex that's pain-free, squeeze, relax, push, squeeze, relax, push, like you're trying to eliminate. And basically what that does is it helps trick that inner muscle to relax.
And see, I've had a problem where through my life I've actually done that exercise, I feel, to a detrimental point. Basically, I have built that muscle up so much through that kind of exercise, not for this purpose, but now it constricts the area.
Mm.
And so it makes it painful because those muscles, a muscle, when you flex and relax, move that, it's going to grow. Like you do arm curls, your biceps grow. And I think I've got this problem where those muscles have gone.
There may be some medical condition going on there that's separate from that, because if you develop those muscles, it's not going to constrict. It's only going to help. Every book I've ever read on this stuff has said that it only helps.
Yeah.
It can never develop to the point where you constrict.
I don't know. I felt like I've been doing a male version of a Kegel for the majority of my life, and now it's like,
because I've been doing them since my early 20s. Mm-hmm. I think I started when I was about 23. And off and on, most of my life, I've been doing them. And it's, you know, I've just never had any problems. Mm. And I've gotten up, you know, I know that I don't do them quite as much as some sources recommend, or at least not for long periods. Some sources recommend doing them about 1,000 reps a day.
Ouch. I mean, that just seems a but then again, you're talking about something that's a quick step. You're not talking about
and you don't
clenching
want to start
and holding.
Out there. Yeah, you don't want to start out there. You want to start gradually and build it up, like any weight, I mean, muscle building program. You don't want to overdo it at first. You want to take your time with it. But by developing these muscles, it will give you greater, especially for men that tend to have premature ejaculations, it'll give you more control over that. And, you know, that's whether you have that problem when you're masturbating or with a partner. By developing these muscles, it'll give you greater control. It also takes the deep breathing with this. If you're not breathing deep, and I'm talking taking really deep breaths, you feel your diaphragm, you know, and then letting the air out. You want to force the air in, let the air out. as you do these muscle exercises. And it is amazing that, you know, just within a couple of weeks, you'll start noticing a difference. I think next, what I'd like to go into a little... Well, I wanted to talk about this group a little bit. It's part of the Radical Fairies, and we do have a Houston chapter that's located... We've got a listserv on the web. We don't have a web page, but we do have a listserv. For people that are interested, we do get together periodically for an MM for M group, which is Mindful Masturbation for Men. And basically, we learn different techniques on how to get ourselves off. And using some of the Taoist techniques sometimes, sometimes just getting together for a circle jerk. So it can be very amazing to get with a group of men and be able to express sexuality together where it's totally safe. You're only doing yourself unless you want to do mutual masturbation, and that's permitted with permission from the person you're wanting to play with. I think I'd like to... you look like you wanted to say something.
No, I was feeling bad to have my back turned to you there because I'm looking for music to play.
Ah.
Because I have a feeling at some point here we're going to want to take a break.
Oh, okay.
And looking for the song. I had two songs that were hitting me.
Oh, okay.
As appropriate for this topic. And, you know... I realize to some people, staring at my ass for three or four minutes like that may not be as intriguing, so I wanted to at least turn around and say, I'm still in the room. But, now I completely lost where we were.
Oh, well, I was talking about this group, MM for M. And those listening that would be interested in such a group, look up the Houston Radical Fairies listserv. It's on Yahoo.
Okay.
And I forget if it's Houston Fairy Circle or Houston Radical Fairies. It's been a while.
Now spell fairies because it's usually...
F-A-E-R-I-E.
Okay, because if I remember correctly, it was the fancy British...
Yeah.
Let's have Mr. Vowel in here because we don't have enough to go by.
Yeah. One of the things that I find really amazing and learning some of these techniques. And I was lucky. I had a boyfriend in my 20s that was into tantric sex and into Taoist sexual techniques, and he taught me a lot when I was very young still. And it was just, I took to it like you wouldn't believe. It was just an amazing journey. And I learned so much from this guy. We were only together for about 6-8 months. But I learned a lot about my body by being with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, up until that point, you know, it's like most guys, you know, you whack it off until you come, and that was sex, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I realized, wow, that was just the barest tip of the iceberg of what sex can be once you discover some of these new techniques. And, you know, Taoism and tantric sex have been studied, and it's a body of information that has grown over 3,000 years. And it's been tested and tried and retested and tried, and they've worked a lot of the bugs out. So it's like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
But the bad part is once you get into it, once you bring this Eastern philosophy into the Western world, they look at this stuff and think, what? You know, when, you know, it, I mean, all of a sudden, tantric sex, you know, kind of exploded late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Here in the United States, when basically a lot with the performer Sting kind of popularized the concept of that, and actually coming out and saying, you know, this is some of the stuff I perform, you know, that I spend time with my partner for, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and neither one of us has a fluid exchange, but we,
yeah,
it's an intensely erotic moment for them. And people look at that stuff and through the Western eyes and just, you know, cringe in horror and, you know, what are you talking about, you know? You know, get me back to the Kama Sutra where at least they go goo.
Yeah.
You know, that, unfortunately, that's the philosophy.
Well,
that
it's not
in
that black and white, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because the East and West have kind of intermingled, more the I see is that there is fluid at some point. And for me, I tend to bring a lot of my, I like to ejaculate. I mean, I love it. And so, and I've never had problems with, you know, there's, in my youth, I went 5 to 15 times a day with ejaculations.
Yeah, I remember those days, kind of.
Yeah. Now
your hand didn't give out, the friction burns caused you to have to stop at that point.
I use lots and lots of lube. So I never, you know, I never really embrace this never ejaculate philosophy. Or rarely ejaculate. Usually somewhere towards the end I will ejaculate. With one exception, when I do the big draw. And the big draw is when you build up all this sex energy throughout your body, and then instead of bringing a ejaculation release, what you do is you clench all your muscles, you take a deep breath and hold it for about 30 seconds, and especially your PC muscles, your abdominal muscles, and you hold it and then totally relax and breathe. Let your body go into a natural breathing rhythm. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it is amazing. Everything just kind of explodes into this kind of non-ejaculatory orgasm, and it's very emotional and very spiritual.
In a way, it almost sounds, you know, I hate to put it in that term, but you're basically talking about a little bit of oxygen deprivation for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's almost a very safe version of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
That you don't have to...
It's more than that, though.
Yeah.
Because you're also clenching every muscle in your body while you're doing this, so it amplifies that.
And by clenching it, your muscles are starving for more oxygen, trying to get some, and you're kind of holding it back more.
Yeah.
So...
And then all of a sudden you release and start going into a natural breathing rhythm. And it's like I've had experiences where I felt like I was being in the womb, being born again. It was just an incredible experience.
I can say, if you're all tensed up, all your muscles, that, it's basically like being surrounded by muscles contracting in you, which would be, you know, your best example of that would be in utero.
Yeah. And so it can be a very powerful and very emotional experience. When I do the big draw, I have had tears coming down my face and giggling at the same time and all, you know, just, but it's not sad tears. It's very,
joyous,
aesthetic tears.
Okay.
Which is really hard to put a word to other than that.
Yeah.
It's just very aesthetic. It's in this overwhelming feeling of feeling one with everything.
Okay.
So it's really very powerful stuff we're talking about. And this is a different kind of masturbation, I know.
Sure.
But I kind of wanted to start with this. Because, you know me, I get into every kind of masturbation you can think of. In fact, just recently I've gotten into doing a masturbation routine where I use a TENS unit urethral insert with a ball crusher.
Yeah, I kind of skip over those videos on XTube.
And a dildo. All simultaneously.
Smart. Afraid if you're using a Neros, you're going to get electrocuted?
Huh?
You're afraid if you're using a Neros at the same time with all the electricity going through, you'll get electrocuted?
Nah. Never happens. That, or I'll use the TENS unit dildo up my anal area. And use a vibrating urethral insert.
I can't get into sounding. I just...
And but it's this multitude of stimulation that just is indescribable.
For those of you at home who aren't sure about some of the things we're using, the term TENS unit is basically a little electric pad that you attach and stimulates the muscles. If you watch the Jackass movie, that's the one that they attached to each other and, you know, kept threatening to put on each other's testicles and ramp it up. And basically, it sends an electrical current into your muscle, which will trigger a spasm.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be used as a medical device to help strengthen muscles when you can't actually manipulate them through standard means. It's to cause it to twitch and contract and expand to work the muscle for it, and it's...
But when you use it on the penis, what it feels like is you're getting 1,000 fingers massaging from the inside out. It's the most incredible feeling. On low settings.
Yes.
When you turn it up, it becomes too intense.
Yeah. And almost to
the point of painful.
Yeah. And what was the term you used for the technical term for sounding?
Sounds?
Use it for transurethral?
Urethral vibrator or urethral rod.
And it's basically placing a surgical steel or sometimes glass, is it?
Stainless steel.
Rod in...
Never glass.
Never glass. I didn't think so.
Never glass.
Some people in the videos put weird stuff up there, so I got confused on that. But
imagine if it accidentally broke inside.
Yeah. But basically, it's a surgical steel rod that you insert into the penis. Some of them vibrate, some of them don't vibrate, but it stimulates the penis from the inside.
Yeah. And then they make a TENS unit attachment that... Once you stick it in and turn the TENS unit on, it starts contracting the whole urethral area.
From the inside out.
So that gives you a little bit of an idea of the spectrum of the types of masturbation I get into.
Everything from plain old vanilla to something that make the Marquis de Sade go, what the? Whiskey, tango, foxtrot.
Well, see, I've always been curious about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try anything once, as long as it's safe, sane, and consensual. You know, I do firmly believe in, you know, never harm the goods.
Yeah.
You can hurt it good in good ways, but never cause harm.
True.
And, you know, anything I do, I study until I talk to people that's into these things, that has the experience. I learn how to do these things safely first before I try it on myself or on another. And once you learn how to do it safely, it's amazing the kinds of things you can do with your erotic body and the places you can take yourself. It's kind of like, you know, I like a whole variety. I like, you know, I've done shows in the past on different types of sexual relationships, everything from screw buddies to romantic love to anonymous sex to you name it.
Yeah.
Well, I like the whole spectrum. I don't try to compare apples and oranges. It's like romantic love is a very different thing from anonymous sex. Both are good, but they're very different.
Different connections and different wiring you have with that person.
Yeah. And it also produces different kinds of orgasms and different kinds of experiences internally. And it's like all of a sudden I can experience a whole range of things. Whereas in our culture, we're taught to experience one single entity.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, I look at it as going to the cafeteria. I'm going to try out this, I'm going to try out that. Now, I've had this before, and I love it. And so I try a little bit of everything.
But you may not be in the mood for it that day.
Yeah. And there's some things I may try once and go, ugh. And then later try it again and think, well, that's not so bad. And
or the dish may not look good one day, and you go back the next day, and a different chef prepared a little, maybe that extra little piece of parsley on top got you.
Yeah.
Leave it to the fat guy to go to the food reference. Even further.
But I bring that up because we treat sex as something so different from everything else in our culture. It's something that's, you know, kind of supposed to be done in the bedroom and behind closed doors and private. And you know, we get these ideas that sex there's a right way and a wrong way, and that anything outside the norm is bad, and you have to have normal sex, you know.
Yeah, but normal sex can be so boring.
Well, not just that, but you look at the definition of normal, and it's really based on the bell curve.
Yeah.
And what that means is that it's average.
Yeah.
Normal is average. Do you really want to have average sex, or do you want to have phenomenal sex? Phenomenal is when you're getting out on those tails and getting into some things. And I'm not saying most people don't want to stick a rod in their dick, or a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But try it once. See if you like it or not. I once had a guy, he's supposedly straight, and he kept saying, no, I don't like guys, no, I don't like guys, but he's so gorgeous. Oh. And I kept saying, well, you know, is it really true that you don't like it? Have you ever tried it? He says, no, but I know I wouldn't like it. And I said, why don't you challenge yourself? Try it once. It may be that you just don't like the idea of it.
Yeah.
That you've got this preconceived notion in your head. And we kind of lost touch for a couple of years. And then I saw him one day, and he came running up to me, and he goes, "Guess what? I tried it. I love it." So you never know until you try something. And I think there's a difference between academic learning and experiential learning.
Yeah.
When you read something or you hear about something or you discuss something, it's all in your head. It's stuff you've learned. When you experience something, it's a different kind of learning. All of a sudden, you have a knowledge of it that's much deeper than any type of academic learning can be. I remember the first time I had my first orgasm. Now, I'd read about orgasms before that. I learned about them, but I'd never ejaculated before. And I had no idea what the experience was. I heard it was great,
yeah.
But until it happened, it was like, whoa, I'm going to play with this toy forever. But reading about it, I had no clue.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the difference between experiential learning and academic learning. Why don't we go to some music, take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about some other masturbation techniques.
Sure. I picked what I think is an appropriate song. It's by Pansy Division. Make sure I hit the right number because some of their songs are so dirty you can't play them. Yeah. Has a song called "Jack You Off" sound appropriate for this show?
Oh, that sounds great.
Pansy Division coming up.
Bus. Hey, guess who? I wore cowboy boots to school. too. You're singing to my song right now. You see that you all have to think for this bird. That's true, what they say. The meek shall inherit the earth. I am the freak, I am the fag. I am the widow, one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd. You beat me up when I was 10. Oh, what I played with dolls, I played with dolls.
Do you think he played with dolls?
Oh, yes.
That was Kevin Cahoon and the Ghetto Cowboy with Doll. And before... Hold on, I got to push this button here. Yay, I did it right. Before that was Jack You Off by Pansy Division.
Ah.
We've got this new system where every song we play, we have to put into this system. Yeah. And then when we talk, I have to push a number, different buttons to say that we're talking.
Ah.
This way the artist... get credit for their song, and if they're due any royalties for it, then they get it.
Oh, okay.
So one of these days, I'm going to get them, and we're going to play all sorts of songs that when they read the titles of them, they're going to go, what? It's like Jack You Off and Masturbation Blues and Pop You in the Pooper. And I think we'll do that when Jimmy's in San Diego. Now we'll have enough excuse. If they get rid of the two of us, then we'll still have someone to keep the show going.
Yeah. Well, next I wanted to get a little bit into some techniques.
Okay.
That a lot of guys may be familiar with, but some may not. And one concept I'd like to put out there for guys that aren't very experienced with masturbation is that sometimes less is more. A feathery touch, barely brushing, and starting out slow and letting it build its own momentum. And one thing I've discovered during masturbation is that by not squeezing my muscles at all, but just feather touches and starting on the balls and then working slowly up the shaft and then teasing the head a little bit and going back and then along the perineum, the taint area, and inside the legs, caressing yourself just with the barest feathery touch or maybe light fingernail touch can get you going wild.
Yeah, because sometimes the muscle, instead of being forced to contract, it does that and wants to contract because it has just that little bit of...
And if you try to hold back from contracting it, and just tease it until you just can't stand it anymore, it's like all of a sudden amazing things can happen.
Yeah.
Whereas, and you know, these are just techniques to try out, see what you like, what you don't, because we're all made a little different. You know, I've had boyfriends that, you know, if I even came close to the head of their cock, it was too much for them. Others loved it. We're all wired a little different. So experiment, explore, try touching yourself in new and different ways. Use your tongue on yourself. I've used my tongue on my arms, everywhere I can reach it, to include in my masturbation. In fact, I look at masturbation today as really more of a making love with myself. I had this interesting experience when I was fairly young. I kind of came up with this. I thought, you know, I'd take other people out on a date and I'd just bend over backwards for them, especially if I find them sexy and attractive. And one day I thought, you know, I've never done that for myself. Just taken myself out on a date and then gone home and had a lovemaking session with myself. And instead of just jerking it off, I took a bubble bath, I had a bottle of champagne, I did all the things, lit candles, put on some music that would be conducive for it, and really took my time and got to know my body better and love my body and make love to my body. And I did everything to myself that I'd do for a partner. And it just gave a whole new transformation to masturbation.
Yeah.
Try that for yourself sometime. It's amazing where you can go with it.
Yeah, I can imagine how that would, you know, just take time for yourself, because a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, something I learned long ago, before you can love another, you have to be able to love yourself.
Yeah.
Try it out. Hmm. It's amazing where you can go with that. And the thing I discovered that really came back tenfold was that once I learned how to make love to myself, I became a better lover for others.
Yeah, I mean, because you understand where it is on you, you translate to the other person, maybe they enjoy the same.
Yeah. But it also helped me in my communications with others. Because I discovered things I liked, and I had trouble putting them into words until I tried it.
Okay.
And then once I kind of went through the motions of it, then I could communicate it to a partner. And I think communication is key. And being able to love yourself, it opens yourself up to communicating to yourself and then to another.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all have mind talk.
Yeah.
And when we masturbate, it gets very active, usually. Especially when we start going into fantasy zone. There's a lot of mind talk going on. And so we can learn from that if we go through certain exercises, like taking yourself out on a date. And listen to that mind talk. See what it's saying. And learn some communication skills from it that you can later take to a partner. Mm. And you can become a better lover with your partner by doing some simple things like that.
Yeah, sounds
so, masturbation 101 and 1001.
And to think they got rid of Jocelyn Elder for talking about masturbation.
The what?
The Surgeon General under Bill Clinton, who was promoting masturbation. And
yeah.
So why don't you teach teenagers how to jack off? They know how to do that already.
Uh-huh.
That's because they just believe in the...
Well, they haven't really taught them how to do it. In the wide spectrum. There are so many different things to explore.
Oh, yeah.
And everything from very loving, tender caresses to working through emotional type orgasms, especially when you get into prostate stimulation. You know, it's kind of interesting. If you study a little bit about the nerves in the body, you'll find that the head of the penis, stimulating that, goes through the pudendal nerve, if I'm getting this right. I always get these confused. Which goes to the lower brainstem.
Okay.
And it produces a kind of skyrocket type effect orgasm. Whereas when you stimulate the prostate gland, it's going through the pubic nerve, which goes to a higher center in the brain, closer to the emotions. And that's why a lot of men that receive anal sex, tend to get very emotional during sex. Whereas if you're getting more penile stimulation,
yeah,
it's the fire rockets type sex, very void of emotions.
Interesting.
And it's basically that nerve set where it winds up in the brain. And what I find truly fascinating is that the brain has, you know, we have different orgasm centers in the brain.
I hadn't heard that part.
Yeah. And so you have that lower brainstem orgasm, fire rockets going off, kaboosh, but it's a big burst and then gone.
Yeah.
Whereas the other type orgasm tends to last longer and be a little richer and deeper.
It's a matter of working which one it is and developing the skills to find it.
And I'm kind of saying this black and white. The two cross over a little bit, but for the most part, and everybody's built a little different. We all have different, you know, nerves aren't that black and white. But it kind of gives a guidepost of, hey, something's going on here that's very different, and we can learn about our bodies because we are given no sex ed. Even in the porn world, we're giving very little true sex ed or true information about how our bodies work. So by taking some time and discovering what our bodies can produce can take us to a whole new realm of experiences.
Sure. Okay, we need to step aside here for the PSAs and top of the hour identifications. So we'll be back in just a moment. This is KPFT Houston.
Join the Houston Peace and Justice Center and the Service Employees International Union on Tuesday, March 23rd, for the screening of the film Bread and Roses at Cafe Brazil at 7 p.m. Bread and Roses deals with the struggle of poorly paid janitorial workers in Los Angeles and their fight for better working conditions, as well as the right to unionize. It is based on the Justice for Janitors campaign of the Service Employees International Union. The film derives its name from the 1912 textile strike in Lawrence, Massachusetts, which united dozens of immigrant communities, a strike largely led by women. Cafe Brazil is located on the corner of Westheimer and Dunleavy Street between Montrose and Shepherd. For more information, visit hpjc.org. This is KPFT Houston. Mandel Park are holding their fourth annual plant sale to benefit the park. Saturday, March 27, 2010, from 9 to 1 p.m. in Mandel Park at 1501 Richmond Avenue, Houston, Texas 77006. There will be a variety of plants and trees on sale, activities for children, and tours of the garden. Enjoy breakfast by Melange Creperie and El Pablito.
I always say that one gets my Slavic blood going. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. I can already tell my voice is starting to go because I couldn't do that one breath.
And we've been talking about masturbation for men. And I would like to kind of qualify a little bit. I know I get wild and out there.
No. The hell I'm you kinda, say?
I'm kinda, I make even some of the most brazen blush and go, ooh. Try some of the things I said if they grab you. If they don't. But go for what feels good.
Yeah.
Don't let someone tell you that something's normal or should be or this is the way it has to be. Find out for yourselves what works for you. We're all made different, and I think that's a beautiful gift. By learning to touch ourselves and getting to know our bodies at a deeper level, we can open up all new kinds of horizons for those that are more vanilla, to those that are kinky and way out there like me, and all in between.
Okay, so find out more information on the group.
It's the Radical Fairies, F-A-E-I... Wait, I'm dyslexic.
F-A-E-R-I-E-S.
Yes.
It's a highfalutin British version.
The Radical Fairies group. And David runs the group, MM for M. And it's something that's really pretty awesome. I've been to several of them, and it's a caring bunch of guys that are getting into it to learn, to develop, to grow. But even if you don't want to get into it, just want to do some solo work, masturbation is amazing. I ran into an interesting statistic.
Okay.
Most men use masturbation more than any other form of sex during their lifetime.
I could see that.
Even in partnered relationships, we all take time to masturbate. I know when I was growing up, well, my father was a minister, and masturbation was a sin, and I was going to get hairy palms and all kinds of bad stuff was going to happen because I played with myself. well, my hair, palms have no hair.
yeah, but you are wearing glasses.
Well, I was wearing glasses before I started masturbating.
So there goes that one.
Yeah, I mean, by the age of 3, I was blind as a bat.
Yeah, the joke I made, you know, after 30-something years of masturbation and 3 years of diabetes, I'm lucky I can see across the room.
Of course, I started masturbating probably in infancy, so who knows, maybe it...
Well, there's that genital stage they talk about of child discovers the, you know, their genitals and works on it.
But, and I forget when Masturbation Month is. I think we already passed it, but there is a Masturbation Month.
I know, because, yeah, there's also the big masturbation.
Yeah, Masturbation-thon or...
Master Belusa, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it may be May.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe it is. Because I hadn't heard of it this year yet, so maybe it is coming up soon.
The weird thing I'd like to find out more about is in May.
Oh, okay.
I was watching one of the ghost shows I like to watch is Ghost Adventurers. And they went to Eastern Pennsylvania State Prison that's now closed. And they went into the old death ledger.
Ah.
And somebody supposedly suicide by masturbation.
I saw that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but I was thinking last night, it's like, how? And that's the one thing the guy asked. It's like, how do you masturbate to death?
Couldn't happen.
But that's what it was written in the ledger. And it was, you know, very nice penmanship. Yeah. But, you know.
There must have been something else going on because I know I've masturbated more times than I can count. Even in one day.
On both hands.
Uh-huh.
He got it.
So
you count the number of masturbations you do on one hand or two hands.
Practice up for Masturbation Month.
Yes, so you've got 2 months to get yourself into that top peak physical. I killed Jimmy on that one.
Okay, it's kinda so sad. I guess we're coming up for a round table.
Yeah, I'm going to play a little music interlude and while I queue up some stuff on here. I got to find this one.
I found a couple of cutesy little sayings that recently that they kind of hit. One you would probably enjoy.
Yeah.
Very cute one. Religion is like your genitalia. Don't display it in public, and don't shove it down your children's throats.
Oh, my.
And this one here, I'm going to leave as a last thought on this part. I sent this to my right-wing father. It was a posting somebody put on the Houston Chronicle. I forget which article it was on there. And I thought it was very interesting. They were, like, so we'll take music and come back and do a roundtable. They came first for the birthers, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a birther. Then they came for the Beckerheads. I did not speak up because I wasn't a Beckerhead. Then they came for the Dittoheads, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Dittohead. Then they came for the death panelists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a death panelist. Then they came to me, and they told me they'd taken care of the naive, ill-informed, paranoid hate mongers. And I said, amen.
Well, I've got one last little thing.
All right.
If the goddess had intended for humans to have sex, she would have given us genitals. If she had intended us to masturbate, she would have given us hands.
Yeah, I don't think the Tyrannosaurus Rex ever...
No.
Thank God we don't have webcams so you can see that. Let's play a little bit of music and get ready for a round table. I decided I needed a drag queen music now.
Okay.
So, hold on, I gotta click on this screen. My mouse is too short.
Story of your life, Chris.
I know. Gotta click the start button to get ready for this.
Or try my mouse, baby.
That's wireless. It's wireless. It's time now for the Rainbow Connection. And we're back with Roundtable.
My heart is so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions. Only illusions and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. And I think they're wrong, wait and see. Someday they'll find it, the Rainbow Connection, Kermit, Miss Piggy, and me. Said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star. Somebody noticed it, someone believed it, and I think they're wrong so far. What's so amazing that keeps her stargazing? The lovers, the dreamers, and me. Ah, oh, Mr. Buddy Shanahan. Hey, Elmer, you want to sing?
Have you been half asleep? And have you heard voices? I've heard folks calling my name.
All of the sweet sounds that call the young sailors, I think they're wanting. The Rainbow Connection, the lover, the dreamer, and me. La 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 la.
All right, that was Mark Allen Smith with the Rainbow Connection,
and we're back. With some roundtable.
Oh, yummy. Hold on.
Okay, Chris. I'll
click the stupid talk button.
Yes.
Click the stupid talk button.
What train wrecks have happened in the world this week?
Wes left his train wrecks at home.
Oh,
that's beside the point.
That's another issue altogether.
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, there's plenty of issues there.
No, there's a whole different set of issues that don't even relate to those two.
And we don't need subscriptions.
There's a whole subscription just in this room. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and you're a train wreck in yourself over there.
Oh, husband. I know.
Let's see.
I'm proud of it, too.
Look here, kettle.
And?
As in mom and pop?
No.
That's cute, though.
Well, considering I'm 23, I think that has actually some relevance. Yes.
Thank All right. you. Oh, so what's in the news tonight?
Oh, thank God I clicked on the Daily Rotten.
Oh
no. Lordy.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble now. This just in.
Oh, goodness.
Squirrel cock seeks playmates. Yeah, we're going there.
Oh, we got our bestiality story.
It's a start.
Speaking of bestiality, where did Virgin go?
We don't want to know. Leave that story alone.
Lock up your pets and hide your children.
Oh, what an interesting headline on that one.
I need a camera.
It has to do with Houston.
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely make $1 million with the face I've got right now. I'm scared.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Before we get started, we do have to introduce...
Oh, yeah, we do have a new voice in there.
Right. We do have people.
An After Hours virgin.
Oh, God. And a Rocky Horror virgin. I'll admit that over the air.
Merlin, pull your microphone closer.
How much closer do you need?
We can barely hear you there. And I got you almost turned all the way up.
What cord am I on here?
It's not your headphones, sweetie. It's
just hit record.
No.
Anyway,
that's odd.
We got New Voice in there.
Hi. I'm New Voice.
Yay. Do you have a name?
Eric.
Eric.
Yay.
Cool.
I want to go back to this.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What are you doing?
I was scrolling. I forgot to check the Daily Rotten, and then, you know, I saw the squirrel cock needs a home, and then I saw the thing about Bill White.
Oh, my goodness.
Can we just black out that issue right now?
Well, because, the story is BJ Services Mayor's frack hole.
I'm from San Francisco, and you guys are scaring me very, very, very deeply.
Yeah. Just wait.
Somebody a Caprica fan? What
is Caprica?
The newest spinoff of Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
All right.
More sci-fi
nerd stuff.
Right. Okay. I'm in.
Hey, let's go with our legitimate stories here.
All right.
What's first on the list?
Let's go with a little Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Been there, done that.
Poster boy for it, Lieutenant Dan Choi and Captain Jim Petrangelo chained themselves to the White House fence earlier this week.
Was it electrified?
No. To try and stimulate debate on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They both pled not guilty. Although in front of full camera crews, they handcuffed themselves to the fence, they declared not guilty. They're opting for a trial over the $100 fine.
Of course.
Choi actually pled not guilty, not ashamed, not finished. Okay, note to Choi, last time somebody went overboard when they said not guilty was OJ, so cut back a little bit.
Yeah. Well, as long as they don't chase him in a white Bronco, we're good.
Yeah. But they did this while in fatigues, and as they left the courtroom after pleading not guilty, Choi was waving an American flag. Also in Don't Ask, Don't Tell there, General John Sheehan of
military?
No, he's of the United States military.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
In hearings about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, said that the Bosnian genocide at Srebrenica back in 1995, he said that it was the Dutch's fault because they allowed gay soldiers. Let's see, let me get his actual remarks.
Well, I can say this from the youth perspective on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I would feel a whole lot safer if I know the, I guess what's the right term? I don't want to say something from Bette Midler and get myself in big trouble here. But I know there are quite a few girls out there who would kick my butt, and I would love to see, I don't know, some terrorist face when they see a huge lesbian in huge hiking boots step on certain body parts and
I think that would scare them.
Leave us alone.
Why aren't you covered over? Well, I'm going to kick your ass anyway. retired General John Sheehan argued that the allowance of gay soldiers in the Dutch military responsible for the genocide in Srebrenica in 1995. Sheehan, the point I'm referring to is the fact that when the Dutch were required to defend Srebrenica against the Serbs, the battalion was under strength, poorly led, and the Serbs came into town, handcuffed the soldiers to telephone poles, marched the Muslims off, and executed them. It was the largest massacre in Europe since World War II. Senator Levin, and did the Dutch leaders tell you it was because there were gay soldiers there? Sheehan said, it was a combination, Senator Levin. Did they tell you that? Sheehan, yes.
I understand that elicited quite the response from some Dutch diplomat.
Yeah, I'm not sure what type of dike he was planning on dropping on them after that comment.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Speaking as someone that saw the institution of Don't Ask, Don't Tell from day one, because I was in the military when Don't Ask, Don't Tell went into effect, the witch hunt has never ended. When Don't Ask, Don't Tell came out.
No.
And
it went more
as much as President Clinton was trying to help the situation, it really didn't help anything.
Well, then you've also got the story that came out this past week. We didn't cover it last week, though, of a military person in North Dakota who local police came looking for her partner, who was one on suspicion of something in another state. And while they were interviewing her, they came across the marriage certificate that the two of them went down to Iowa and got.
So here we go.
The couple was legally married. So the police department reported it to the military base. And that third party reporting of her being being lesbian, she has been removed from the military. And currently she and with the assistance of the ACLU, are suing the police department for outing her in this case.
Yeah. That's terrible. It's one of those things. I mean, it wasn't a very wise move in the beginning. And it's still, and it has its repercussions all the way down the line. I mean, granted, the idea behind it was a good idea, but just the application of the whole thing just did not go over very well.
Well, you know, it's curious to me because I've seen a lot more recently, we're having a conflict between local governments and the military, and yet I always thought they were supposed to be separated. Like, if you're on American soil, yeah, the police got control of you, and the military doesn't have that much control over you. But then again, we've always got these wonderful people who love to mix everything up and use it in all the wrong ways.
Well, what it was is her partner was not military and was being investigated for a crime. So basically, the way they're saying is they saw the marriage certificate was out in the open.
Uh-huh, so they just decided to mix everything up.
So they decided to report it.
Well, the unfortunate thing for American military is you can get in trouble for something with local law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
When they're done with you, the military can get you for the exact same thing.
There's no double jeopardy.
There is no double jeopardy. And the military can tack on extra stuff because if you are sentenced to prison time,
mm-hmm.
when you get out of prison, you will then have...
Military prison time.
You will have... Well, not only that, but you get charged for dereliction of duty, absent without leave, and all the other good things that go along with that.
Isn't the military
Plus, then you get also charged with the original crime that you committed in the first place.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, a friend of ours was telling a story about some guy who thought he was going to be okay because the local authorities wouldn't get him because he was in the military. He didn't seem to grasp the concept that when the local authorities were done, whatever happened there...
It happened tenfold.
It happened tenfold to the guys who owned him.
Yeah.
apparently, he watched the movie Tank too many times and thought it was real.
Yeah.
Okay, 23-year-old perspective here, but Tank?
I'll explain it to you later.
Okay.
We'll just pat you on the head and tell you they're there right now.
I'll just smile and nod.
There you go.
Next story.
Smile and wave. Smile.
Next story.
Let's stay in Washington and meet our friends, the Teabaggers.
Oh, what are they up to these days?
Isn't Sarah Palin involved with them now?
Kind of.
Who cares?
Henry Waxman, Barney Frank, and Representative John Lewis were among congressmen verbally attacked by marauding gangs of teabaggers at the Capitol today.
Oh, good Lord.
As Brian
and this today was dated when?
Today.
Today.
Oh, okay.
Just on Saturday.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
A few moments ago at the Longworth office building, a group swarmed a very calm-looking Henry Waxman as he got on the elevator with shouts of, "Kill the bill, you liar, you crook." Not long before, Representative Barney Frank got an uglier version of the treatment. Just after Frank rounded a corner to leave the building, an older protester yelled, "Barney, you faggot!"
Good Lord.
You know, this is
getting so out of hand. I guess Dick Armey was there.
Oh, my God. These people are...
Oh, but wait.
There's more.
The surrounding crowd of protesters then erupted in laughter. At one point, Capitol Police officer threatened to throw the protesters out of the building, but didn't. Representative Andre Carson claimed on Saturday that a healthcare protesters at the Capitol directed racial epithets at Representative John Lewis as he walked outside. Carson, a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, along with Lewis, told The Hill that protesters called Lewis the N-word.
Oh, that's going too far.
If I click on this button here, it says they're also threatening gun violence if healthcare reform isn't stopped.
Okay, so they... It's okay to get into a rant about health care. I can almost understand some of the ranting about health care. But you immediately completely wipe your argument the minute you start adding racial and other innuendos in the direction of... You have now reduced yourself... to being a racist homophobe, and which to me makes the rest of your argument null and void.
It seems like it's just
that
anger
that you're not
misinformed, you know,
uneducated,
overeducated in some cases,
in the wrong sense.
In the wrong sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Here's a sign. They a sign seen a couple of times at the rally today. Warning, if Brown can't stop it, a Browning can. Oh. A Browning is a type of pistol.
Jeez.
You know, I am the generation of rap music. I'm the generation of, you know, this whole killing police officers and raping pregnant women, which I think in music it's that going that far. I'm really curious to know that, like, in a lot of people's eyes, and you know, in these racist, homophobic people, but yet we see this in this music, and they don't act on it as much as I see as the teabaggers, and I see all these. The Republicans are using more of this hatred than I've ever seen in any.
That's
of
because they're scared.
I'm sorry, I'm chuckling.
People lining their pockets are. Under the gun here because of this health reform thing.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing. I mean, I've been paying attention to it as much as I can, but it just seems simpler because when you take away all the extra costs from all the emergency rooms, and if we can focus that energy back into doctor's visits, the preventative care we're going to save in emergency room costs would easily pay for the reform itself.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And it's scary that a 23-year-old is saying this, and
but
I don't think
no,
half the country
but
realizes
we live,
it.
We live in a soundbite world.
Yes.
And people...
And you two took it long to say that.
Yes.
Okay.
But no, that's the thing.
We live in a soundbite world, and people will listen to the bits and pieces, and people... You know, somebody came up with the phrase sheeples. People who are easily led by whatever the loudest voice says. And sometimes the loudest voice is not the one who's telling the truth. And so they go with that, and they get scared by what's out there, and they just run with that.
And the beauty is things like Facebook help now level that kind of thing out.
It's getting there, but...
But I always love reading some of the comments, and...
Oh, yes.
Down here. Well, this one. I guess we could give them a little credit. They did spell Browning right. Another one said, true, I'll grant them some layout design and mechanics improvements. Still, the afterthought use of the yellow caution tape conflicts with the message and causes sort of a busy image. I think more white space might help. the designer in me just, you know...
Go away.
Kind of loves that stuff.
That's great.
I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to it, but is that Prop 8... Has anything been said about Prop 8 in the past couple of months?
Still waiting to hear for the final verdict on that.
Oh, they're still out on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know I was actually there in San Francisco the day when the decision was handed down, and I have never been involved in a political riot, and let's just say that if I had not left when I would have, I probably...
I would have been, and
it would have definitely been... it would have been fun being a political prisoner, but unfortunately I had a final I had to go to, so, yeah.
Hey, we've been known to have a few political riots right here on the air.
Oh, yes.
Next story.
Let's get some entertainment news.
Entertainment! Oh, my!
Okay.
Sadly, first off, the One Life to Live gay storyline will be coming to an end soon.
That blows.
Apparently, they have... some of their viewership has gone down, and of course, let's blame the fags.
Well, let's blame the fact the show's been on the air for 50 years.
Well, you know what it could be is the fact that because they decided to go crazy and have gay men, you know, the men who are staying at home now watching soap operas because they're unemployed, kind of turn them off. If you would have had the hot lesbian action they used to have on All My Children.
Yeah, you know.
But leave it to prime time.
Oh, yes.
With a gay kiss on Ugly Betty.
Oh, I heard about this.
The decision was finally made last night by Justin. He likes boys. Well, it wasn't entirely his decision since Austin was the one making the first step.
Who's Justin?
He's the unofficial gay nephew of Ugly Betty.
Right.
And was he kissing the assistant?
No, it was in a... I guess it's a fellow high school student in this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That they were doing a play, and they were... I'm just going by what I understand from the clip. They had rehearsals, and Justin was kissing this one girl, and then Austin kissed this one girl, and they were comparing how the kisses were, and then eventually Austin planted one on him.
You know, and that's...
Have you noticed that have you seen the actor... on other things?
Yeah.
He makes Harvey Firestein look straight.
Well, and this is the thing that pisses me off. You know, I'm a huge American Idol person, so of course I'm in huge support of Adam Lambert. And now ABC basically comes across this message of kissing boys is so icky, and yet they're now biting their tongue. They better invite Adam back.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was his performance was a little over the top.
This was Madonna's in Every Chance She Gets.
But that was on MTV, which isn't FCC protection. Yeah. But the one thing about this that's a little bit of twittering about is the fact that the last time they had a type of kiss like this on TV was Dawson's Creek. But the actors playing were like 28 and were in their 20s.
Yeah.
These actors here are actually teenagers.
And heaven forbid that teenagers have, you know, a sex life and a libido.
Because, you know, there's no 16-year-old parents out there or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Oh, let's see. I believe there's a show on MTV called 16
and Pregnant.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes against that.
Wes just got it in stereo.
And there's also there's also that one Underage and Engaged too.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Really? How low is MTV going?
Wait a minute. Didn't I see a report that Ugly Betty's been canceled?
Yes, it has.
This is its last season.
That's so they're just going to go all out for.
Hey, go out with a bang.
Hell yes.
Literally.
Well, what are we going to do? I mean, is Betty going to take over as the editor of the magazine? Really, how much more of a bang can we get than what we've got?
Well, you know, considering the fact they're kind of upping the gay quotient, instead of bang for your buck, I like to say, let's go balls for the walls.
There you go.
Here, Jimmy, we're going to talk about an actor you might know of. Clark Gable.
No, never heard of him.
Liar.
Liar.
Jimmy blew him sometime, I'm sure.
Clark Gable sold sex to guys and gals.
Jimmy was one of them.
Well, of course he did. How do you think he became a star?
Clark Gable was prepared to do anything to get ahead. one word in Tinseltown, including going gay for pay.
Of course.
That's the explosive claim celebrity biographer David Brett makes in his new book about the screen legend Clark Gable, tormented soul star. In fact, he was bisexual, although he was better described today as gay for pay.
Mm.
Oh, for crying out loud. Like,
he did time. Well, he spent time here in Montrose, too, back in the 30s.
He has a bungalow. The bungalow he lived in is still down in the back streets of Montrose.
Really? I thought it was townhouses now.
Nope.
No, it's the one with the glass, the gas-burning lamps.
Oh, okay.
Out front.
The gas-burning lamps and the weird stonework on the front.
Okay.
It's still there.
Yep.
But I mean, you know what gets me is they keep doing, they do these stories, and it's not like they, unless they do a seance, it's not like these people are going to be able to defend the, yes or tell you yes or no.
And of what historical value really is this information?
It's easy to say that about people who are dead, you know.
Oh, do you have to remember when they went after James Dean with everything? And
oh, yeah.
And it's like, seriously, like, he's a sex symbol. We got it. But
sex symbol, he did 3 movies and he's dead. I mean, yeah, hello.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm clicking over on my TV and looking at a sex tape of him. I don't care.
Yeah.
Although, for a dead man, an awful lot of people have drooled over him.
Yeah.
Even in this decade. He was not hard to look at.
Yeah, really.
And neither was Sal Mineo, who really was gay.
Yes. And he was obviously gaga over him.
He was so pretty.
Oh, God. You mentioned Sal Mineo. You realize now if Roy's listening, he's calling him.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Is he still kicking around?
I haven't heard.
Nobody's heard from him in a while. Apparently.
Okay.
So what do we get next?
What else?
Let's
is there more famous people coming out?
Somewhat celebrity made a comment who proposes for testing at the gay games.
Testing for what?
Dopamines?
Nope. They're gayness.
Oh, please. The XQ28 research shouldn't be used against us.
Wait. Testing for gayness?
Yes.
At the gay game.
How the hell do you test for gayness?
I actually can answer that.
I'll tell you.
Yell that.
Jimmy Adam will be standing there on his knees.
Adam Carolla presented his solution for screening the straights out of the gay games. For the gay game solution. Just walk the line, look at the fellows, and all of a sudden you stop in front of one, your dick comes out and starts sucking. Random gay testing. Yeah, it would eliminate any straight jocks from going in there and doing any legal gay bashing in boxing or wrestling or whatever the hell it is. I don't know why you'd have to. I don't know why they would have to televise that part of it, but I would definitely watch.
Oh,
just saying random, like all the testing, the stuff they do is always random. Whenever random pole smoking, that would deter a lot of straight guys.
Adam Carolla.
Then again, we're talking about Adam Carolla.
I'm not surprised.
Oh my God.
Now,
I'm not surprised that he said it. It's the part where he'd actually watch that got me.
Anyway. Yeah, well, you know.
Now, in contrast to his man show persona, Carolla's always been a strong supporter of equal rights for gays.
There it is.
He has actually taken a part in the No Hate
campaign?
Yeah, duct tape campaign.
Yes.
You go, boy.
Oh, I love that campaign.
So, that was...
Wow.
That was actually kind of cute, though.
That's cute. That's a little bit... Although, you know...
That would definitely test for gayness.
Well, that's the same thing in the old, you know, the old military test for gayness, that when you're going in for your physical, they would just take that tongue depressor, stick it out a little too far, and if you didn't gag, they figured you were queer.
By the way, did you hear about a certain figure skater?
Brian Boitano?
No.
Johnny Weir?
A certain figure skater who supposedly was not invited to a...
Yes, we talked about that last week.
You know?
Skating with the Stars or Star Skate or whatever.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars? Skating with celebrities?
No, it's one of those ice skating, you know...
Like a...
Because Fox did skating with celebrities a while back.
No, it's okay, hold on.
Champions on Ice.
Hold on. Let me put it in terms you can understand. You know when the 12 finalists from American Idol go out and do that little tour?
Don't you insult my show?
Okay, it's the same thing, but figure skating.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't insult my. Don't bring my show into this.
I was putting it into terms you can understand.
We're not insulting. We're giving you an analogy you can understand.
Welcome to the group.
I feel like I've been animated into a Looney Tunes short right now. This is so amazing.
The council has spoken.
We realize that Stars on Ice might be a little before your time.
Look, I know Star Search, okay? You guys can leave
me
alone.
But no,
the Star Search. I said Stars on Ice.
Anyway, moving
on. You have to realize that the best thing we can equate Roundtable to is the View with a little less testosterone.
So we should all start clucking right about now?
Basically. No. Can we queue up for play music video?
From the PC?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, now what do you
Or should I lose all the weight and destroy my arms and claim that it was all by weight loss and not by surgery?
No, she's not.
That comes later.
Okay.
No, honey, you're adorable just the way you are.
Yes, that's fine.
All right, I talked about playing this video earlier. It's called Hot Damn.
Is this the one that you sent me the link to?
I believe so.
I still didn't get to see that.
Damn, it's by a group called Serious Business. Two guys of Oregon's Serious Business, one gay, one straight. One raps, one rocks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
And you might be surprised at who's who. You can find this if you go to, I've got pulling this off the akwilliam.com website. It's through Vimeo. And let me see if we can play this. If you guys want to come in here and look at the video with us, we're going to step aside and hopefully this is going to work. It's Hot Damn by Serious Business. Not.
Well, hold on a second. Well, it looks like we're having a little technical difficulty.
Testicle difficulties?
Yeah, that too.
Come on.
Did you break it? I think you broke it.
Damn it.
Janet.
Rocky.
Bullwinkle. That's Vista. No.
It's okay. Just... Well, let's try going to the... Go to the actual website. I know this happens sometimes with YouTube videos.
Alright.
And it's got a queue up. Buffer, you know.
Yeah, it's buffering now.
Can we get a buffer in here? No buffers.
Let's see, hopefully it's coming up. Like, it's probably giving me a chance to go over to the other site and plug it into the information. Hot Damn, Serious Business.
What was that website?
That looks like that could take a while.
Well, once it gets far enough along, it probably will. You know, if people weren't outside, saw their computers running on the outside.
Mine's not running now. It's probably asleep. And I've got the blue screen of death, so don't look at me.
I started doing something.
We're all in here.
We're all right here.
All right, somebody's sucking my bandwidth.
You need to let's go on to another story.
Let's let that buffer and go. The bad part is I only had the one other story. The one that was highlighted. Squirrel, what was it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and we got like 20 minutes to blow here.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't an invitation, Jimmy.
Yes.
Let's just hope it's about gene splicing.
No, not about jeans.
I think the octoparrot would disagree with
him. Did I hear him bellow out there?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the one that was headlined called Squirrel.
I'm proud of my strange directions.
Okay, what was the story?
We'll click that one just because it sounds curious because it involves a naked guy.
Oh, yes.
This was a good story to talk to. Let's go with something serious again.
Wait a minute. Brains needed by hairy toes?
I love the Daily Rotten headlines.
This one is entitled Slobber Slaked Generations of Weeblos.
Oh.
I don't even know where to begin with that title.
Weeblos?
Weeblos.
Oh, Weeblos, not Weeblos. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, Weeblos.
Weeblos.
Come on.
Don't we belong to
the
It's
a story coming out of
Oregon,
Portland, Oregon. A civil trial opened Wednesday in Portland that will show the Boy Scouts of America knew it had child molesters in its leadership for decades, but kept the problem quiet, according to a attorney for one of the victims. The case, expected to attract national attention, centers on the Portland man who confessed to Scout leaders that he had molested 17 Scouts, but was allowed to continue joining boys in Scouting activities.
I was in Berkeley when they first did the whole thing about not letting the Boy Scouts use the Berkeley Pier because of their policies. You know... I can respect what the Boy Scouts are trying to do, but at the same time, I think I was in the Campfire Girls, and it did the same thing. Yes, I was in the Campfire Girls only because it was a small town, and I was not the only boy in there. But really, you know...
Boy, that explained a lot right
now.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you dare. I'm going to light a fire under you.
So did anyone get in your trip getting kicked out for eating brownies?
Actually, we were still really young.
Okay.
I think somebody got kicked out once for the inappropriate...
You're out of here.
Somebody got kicked out for the inappropriate use of the colored dauber. And, yeah, but other than that, I think we were good.
But the interesting thing about this is the what's going to be going on to into part of the evidence in this is a file folder from the Boy Scouts headquarters, which shows they knew of 1,000 suspected child molesters from 1965 to 1985. Basically, they had these little cards written up on people, you know, who may not should be in it, you know, in case they move, shouldn't be a scout leader and others. So there's this...
watch file?
Kind of a watch file. Hmm. And another little part that comes up to this is the fact that this was investigated by a bishop in the Mormon church who sponsors one of the scout troops. And the guy confessed to him years ago that he supposedly had molested these children. And the information was never turned over to police.
Isn't that like a break of about 60 rules or something like that?
Give or take.
Yeah, well, you know.
Give or take five.
Or oh, yeah. I like that part.
What?
His first victim was in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, the Mormons.
Okay, you know what? I spent time in Utah, and I'm
we're sorry.
Well, thank you. And I hate to make rash generalizations, but I can tell you right now, most of those little Mormon boys...
They're hot.
Oh,
please, I know
they're not as innocent as they look.
They are not as innocent as they look, and if you show them, let's just say, 5 minutes of interest, let's just say I've successfully freaked out a lot of imports from St. Louis that way.
Hey, I saw a movie.
You've seen have you seen the magic underwear then?
I have not only seen the magic underwear, I've gone a lot further, and let's
he's
just say.
Off the magic underwear.
There was another Mormon boy who could have caught us and turned us in, and he enjoyed watching. And he was about as hardcore Mormon as they came.
Hey, I saw a movie recently with
I didn't ask
with
you what
a
he
cute
did.
Amish boy.
Naked man on an I-35,
183
billboard. A naked man danced atop a billboard on Highway 183 on Friday morning in the Dallas area, sparking a rescue and causing traffic delays in the busy area.
Oh, my, you think?
Police and firefighters were called to the scene just north of Not Mockingbird Lane about 2 p.m., where the man, donning a Mohawk's life hairstyle and nothing more...
And a smile.
Mockingbird Lane?
Yeah.
Mockingbird Lane.
Was spotted atop the advertising tower.
Near the Munster's place.
Did they have to bring in the heavy equipment?
Yeah, they brought in the big ladder truck. Officials used a rescue ladder to reach the man, who flailed his arms and made motions mimicking an orchestra conductor.
I'm sure that's not all it was flailing.
The man eventually descended on his own, smoking a cigarette and dancing as he made his way to the ground. This will be a unique situation, Dallas Police Lieutenant. He's obviously not in his right mind. Police said they found syringes on the ground below the billboard, and the man appeared to be high on drugs. Officers cuffed the man, covered him with a blanket, and transported him to Parkland Hospital. It was unlikely he would face criminal charges.
Who let any Munster out again?
Grandpa this time, I think.
He doesn't look too bad.
Grandpa's dead.
He's not bad from the neck up.
Ooh.
Oh.
They didn't blur his ass.
Oh, wow.
That's crack.
Oof. That sure was.
You know, this reminds me...
Maybe he was on crack.
Oh,
that's
God.
Crack. That's what he was smoking, too.
Yeah, that's ass crack, isn't it?
Yep, sure is.
Oh, wait.
It is funny. Crack.
Hold on. Let's go to the large photo. That's not much larger. There we go. Oh, yeah.
Why are you guys studying pixels in that much detail? It's scaring me.
We do this on the show every week.
Well, they got a magnifying glass up to the screen now. You need a life.
Yep. Yep,
hold
that's
the
it.
Microphone. Yeah,
that's the real thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to my Fox DFW, you will see ass crack.
Sugar Plum, if you're going to become a regular part of this, you're going to have to get used to this.
I probably will.
Only the tip of the iceberg. Honey.
Look, you're talking to someone who changes Miley Cyrus's seven to things into seven STDs on YouTube. I'm sure I'll fit in just fine.
Oh, yeah.
But
There we go.
Yeah. Which did get banned.
I knew there was something I liked about him.
Okay, let's go to the squirrel story.
All right.
And then we'll hit the video.
A Ridgedale man who allegedly exposed himself to children 2 months ago will appear in court Thursday morning for an arraignment hearing. Timothy Flood, 46, is charged with statutory sodomy, attempted statutory sodomy, and sexual misconduct. According to a warrant filed by the Taney County Sheriff's Office, an interview was conducted with the victims at the Lake Area Child's Advocacy Center in Branson West. They said that Flood, quote, pulled down his blue boxer shorts, exposed his penis to them, and told them they better be glad they don't have these. He was referring to his testicles. Because they itch all the time.
Isn't that more of an anatomy lesson? I don't see any... I'm sorry.
But well, wait. No.
There's more.
Oh, God. It gets better.
In many areas of the court document, it was redacted to protect the victim's identities. The warrant application also stated that Flood had placed a squirrel's skull on the head of his penis and tells them to look at it and then eats the squirrel's eyeballs.
Did you just say eat the squirrel's eyeballs?
Yeah, he ate the squirrel's eyeballs.
Oh, my God.
Flood allegedly told the victims he was going to bounce this on the top of their heads and tried to hit one of them in the head with his penis 3 times, according to the document. Bond was set at $150,000.
I am, like, utterly stunned, because if you're doing this, you got a whole lot more problems than
you know,
those
that
charges.
Would be embarrassing to walk into your elementary class and have a mushroom stamp in your forehead.
Wait a minute, but here's... Hold on, where was this story? There is a similar story of...
Another one?
It sounds too fabricated, to be honest. This just sounds way too...
It's almost like urban legend, but let's go on.
Hold on, I gotta figure out where I... There we go!
Oh!
P!
No, don't start.
Q?
Once again, we have to go over to England!
Across the pond. What
ah, yes. A little tea, Governor.
Yeah.
Come on. Tea, all right.
Okay, I'm doing the alphabet thing. I'm sorry.
A man who assaulted a female police officer with his penis has been fined. Miriam Varinosukas, whatever the hell his name is, 28, tried to strike the officer on the head with his penis when she was called out to his flat, but she got out of the way.
How big was it?
Let's wait and see. The Lithuanian guy admitted to the charge of assault at Aberdeen Sheriff's Court and was fined £600.
It was as big as a cave.
The court heard that he'd been drinking heavily and could not remember committing the offense at his home in Aberdeen, Scotland. Police were called to his home by his girlfriend, who had complained about him being drunk last November. He's Scottish and he just finally got sobered up.
The drunken...
Oh, we're going to get some hate mail on that one.
No, we're not.
Please. No.
They arrived to find the self-employed engineer sitting on his sofa wearing a pair of underpants. Fiscal Deputy Elaine Lynch said the accused got to his feet and was standing over the police officer, exposing his penis and thrusting it in her face, forcing her to take evasive action to avoid getting struck.
By what?
Defense Solicitor John Hardy says he was sitting on the couch drunk with his pants on. He can't remember anything but accepts if that's what the police said, what happened, it happened. He has never been so drunk before that day, and he accepts that he takes full responsibility and apologizes profusely and is extremely embarrassed. His not guilty plea committing a breach of the peace by uttering offensive and sexual remarks was accepted by the Crown Court. The sheriff has been told that Lithuania has now quit binge drinking because of the incident.
I'm sorry, but how big is it that you have to take drastic action and drastic to evade something? I know I'm being a size queen talking about it like this, but I mean seriously, if there's something more than 2 feet.
It doesn't matter. Just put your face in the pillow. there you go.
All right, let's see if we can play some hot.
That's probably the most creative use of a shillelagh in
decades. He's Scottish, not Irish.
All right, good day, mate.
All right, let's try this again. Take 20 of Hot Damn Serious Business.
That was almost...
Well, you know, that's not working very well.
Okay, I'm just going to stay here, and you guys can load it up. I'll miss the first 3 seconds.
All right, hold on.
Is it not working?
I hit the button too many times.
Oh.
Now, it's double clicking, not triple clicking. You hit the button once. Okay.
Believe me, if anybody in this room knows how to use a mouse.
All right, this Chris sucks. I got to try and download it. I'll try and download the video.
Now, what was it? I think it was Avenue Q that said something regarding double clicking.
Yes.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, we're just gonna quit doing that. It's not working, and
we'll try it next week.
The part of it is the one singer is kind of geeky looking, the other one's kind of skinhead looking,
mm-hmm.
and it's the geeky boy that's the straight boy, and the
skinhead. Oh my goodness.
Well, I discovered a couple of... now, I love to do my own parodies on YouTube, which I promise I'm not going to do something really nerdy, like try to drop what's that wonderful thing called? Plug? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, those aren't allowed here.
No.
Well, they are, but they have to be made out of silicone.
Oh, I'm going to like it here.
And just for the record, what makes you think a Solarly is only in Ireland?
What? I don't even know what that means.
I'll tell you like I tell a friend of mine that does these shameless plugs for our group in Lord of the Rings. You shameless hussy.
If I was Homer Simpson, I would be slapping you with a glove right now.
Honey, your skin's not that yellow.
Give me a week.
You got too much hair.
Hey, Homer's a bear. They said it in one of the episodes.
Right. Hey, whoa.
What?
Free boobs with morning cartoons?
What?
Are we talking about Sailor Moon?
No, when the menu available children's program was listed on the left side of the screen, previews showing nude women engaged in explicit conversations played in the upper right corner, where previews of children's shows normally would appear. The explicit content aired from about 6:15 to 8:15 a.m. in parts of Cary, Garner, Mooresville, Wilson, Goldsboro, and some other place.
Oh, righty then.
To many a sci-fi con, I have seen some truly disturbing versions of Sailor Moon.
Have you guys heard about the Pokemon porn?
Oh, yeah.
There was that episode when I know, as a true geek of myself, when you see a guy that can inflate his breast with the pull of a tab, there's just some things that you should not be showing kids.
First of all, the guy's name is Ash Ketchum, right?
No, that was James. That was James. That was the little gay boy who follows around and is the perfect, how should I put this, see, if we've got the term fruit fly, I think we've got, like, the male equivalent of that.
Yeah,
to that.
I'll restate my whole thing about Pokemon. The first decade ago, when I first heard of Pokemon, mm-hmm. My first reaction was, what, is he a gay Rastafarian?
I thought it was a Jamaican proctologist at first.
Lord.
A proctologist? What is this?
No, it's Japanese. It's a Japanese pronunciation.
Yes.
The only problem is they move on from porn to throwing 25,000 kids into seizures Christmas Day. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I heard about this.
This is true.
All right, what else?
That's about all I had, really.
Oh, good. We're
running out of gas already?
We're running out of time anyhow.
Well, we got about
a few
4 or 5 minutes to blow.
We got a few minutes left.
Again, Jimmy, that's not an invitation.
I thought I heard him stampeding in here the minute you said blow.
Let's go to my backup here. Oops, too many W's.
Yeah, we've had one too many W's. The president for too many terms. I loved what Pink did to him.
I know.
And then, of course, I know.
Chicks.
Oh, you know what I was going to say? I saw a great documentary a while back called Shut Up and Sing, and it was basically the story of what they did. I saw that opening day on Berkeley.
The other show's here.
Coming in the studio now with Mary.
Aha, that must mean Zydeco Pazaleza.
How much longer do we have you?
Till June.
Till June. Okay.
All right.
June.
Can I be a June bride?
I'm guessing Zydeco Pazaleza is coming up
the
next.
Nixie Chicks. I find it amazing.
They broke up.
I find it amazing that at the beginning, when they first said what they said,
mm-hmm.
everybody crucified for them. By the time that war had gotten to mission accomplished,
mm-hmm.
everybody was going, you know, they were right.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they just broke up. They just said, like, last week that Natalie Maines will not be joining them for their next album.
Yeah, but I heard a thing where they're going on tour, but they're not the headliner. They're the warm-up act.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You mean the two of them or the three of them?
I saw the Dixie Chicks. I didn't click on them because really wasn't interested.
Okay, because I was just reading something on Yahoo about 2 weeks ago where the Dixie Chicks have dropped Natalie, and you got to admit they got a lot of artistry cred when they stood behind her. And I'm saying if they go back on it now, I was almost willing to buy a country album of theirs after, but. Don't go back on your cred.
No. So, Chris, you had a backup story?
No, I didn't see anything interesting on pinknews.co.uk.
So, how about we plug the show a little bit here and say, come find us on Facebook.
Yes, so you can find us out on... Hopefully, I tried searching for us on Facebook and couldn't find us.
Really?
I tried too.
It just strange. Looked up After Hours.
I looked up After Hours, and I think I got 100 and
it's
something.
Two words, not one.
Okay, that is too weird. We'll look at it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But as far as we're getting in touch with us, you can get in touch with us through Facebook. You can also send us email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is afterhours@kpft, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And all of this without Jimmy and...
Well, he's finally showing his happy ass in here.
Here we go.
You're a little late.
Yeah,
girl.
Let's hear
come
you do
on,
this
Mary.
Part with that. I'm throwing down the gauntlet, bitch, because you know it's coming. Yeah. We love to hear from you. We want to hear your love mail, hate mail, news stories, and
dirty pictures.
Oh Lord!
I can't do it with laryngitis. I cannot do it.
Shall I do it for you? Dirty pictures.
Thank you.
And we loved hearing from you. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasta Lake.
Oh, Mary's in the house.
Followed by the Red Eye Special. If you want to find more information about the programming here on KPFT, go to kpft.org. You can also find archive links to our to programs here. So fun being mean to him.
Oh, we enjoy it so much, too.
Once again, this is KPFT Houston, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. Oh.
What the hell, a few seconds early.
Let's give the 40 seconds to Mary. Let's go to the PSA.
Good night, kids.
Good night, everybody.
We've been at war with Iraq since 1990.
Saturday, March 20th, will be the 7th anniversary of the Second War in Iraq, which has claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. The war in Afghanistan, which has killed thousands more, will mark its 9th anniversary in the fall. On Saturday, March 20th, you can add your voice to the many across America demanding an end to these wars and funding for jobs, housing, and health care at home. Everyone is invited to a rally against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan at 2 p.m. in Mason Park, South 75th Street and Tips Street in Houston. For more information, please call 832-692-2306 or 281-93-9248.
We've been at war with Iraq for 20 years.
More than coffee, more than chocolate, more than a massage, volunteering makes you feel good, and it costs less too. Avenue Community Development Corporation hosts group volunteer work days several times a month, where groups of volunteers provide landscaping, do site cleanup, and more. Also, Avenue CDC needs volunteers to assist with our annual fundraiser, Art on the Avenue, which is held each fall. Those with real estate or construction expertise could also provide much-needed support in our programs. Avenue CDC was created by residents within Avenue's target area who saw two things happening to their community. First, low-income residents were being pushed out by high taxes and real estate values. Second, the affordable housing that remained was in substandard conditions. These residents believed they could change all of that. So can you. Just give Avenue a call at 713-864-8099 or visit our website at avenuecdc.org. Feel good. Be an Avenue volunteer.